Show me the money.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with your good meaning, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I'm going to hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not so dude. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yes. Louder.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Why, good morning, Scotty J.
Good morning, Druzy.
How are you doing today?
Great, super.
So how do you feel about that speech that you just selected for us?
It was mediocre.
Really?
Hey, it was the last minute, pull it out of a rabbit's hat.
That wasn't last minute. You were right here at 10 o'clock this morning, like, I have the greatest speech ever.
It's older than that, actually. Didn't you originally give me that speech to play about a month ago?
Yes, I actually gave you that speech on the anniversary of the Show Me the Surrey deal. So okay. that's a special significance, a month ago.
And then you gave it to me like a month ago, and then we, you know, deleted it. And then this morning I had nothing, and we didn't have time to get anything, and we didn't want to do the Independence Day, so we dug it out. Having had a month now to think about it and having listened to it just now, how do you feel that speech went?
I think it's great.
Scale of 1 to 10, rate that speech.
7.
Okay. How are you feeling today?
I feel just about 98%.
Let me ask you this.
Person.
If I was to ask you how much of Friday's show you really remember, where would you say that the memory stops?
The memory stopped right when Dennis Pitzenbogger was on the air.
Fantastic. Well, lucky for you, we have the gift of audio tape, Scotty. So we'll
refresh your memory.
Oh, excellent.
You'll be reliving all of Friday.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to even go back and listen to it. I really don't want to know.
Oh, you'll know. you'll know everything here in just a few minutes. All right, thank you, Scotty. All right, let's begin the radio program.
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson
Show.
And
let me just say, can you sweeten my mic just a hair? Thank you. Let me just say this about that Show Me the Money speech. It's not that that's a bad speech or such. It's really not. And in fact, like everybody, the first time I saw that Show Me the Money segment in the theater during Jerry Maguire, which is not a great film, but which is, I would say, a good film, to be fair, I thought it was a fantastic speech. What has ruined that for me, like many of us, is a generation of salespeople upstairs walking around saying, "Show me the money!" And then, like, chest thumping each other. You know, grabbing each other's junk and then walking off. That's it. That's what's made that speech terrible for me. Let me just make these two brief observations about Jerry Maguire, and then we're going to... Jerry Maguire. And then we're going to move on. One, you know, the genius of Jerry Maguire in its way is that, because it was a comeback film for Cameron Crowe, because everybody thought he sort of fell off with singles. He has sort of an every other film kind of a track record, too, you know, because he falls off with singles, big comeback, Jerry Maguire, you know, and then, well, I guess that doesn't really work, and then Almost Famous, and then he did Vanilla Sky, and then, never mind, he's trending down. The point is, the great thing about Jerry Maguire is it is exactly 50-50 guy film, chick film. And it's probably the only film that I can say that about. It is exactly half for guys, half for girls. And he pulls it off really flawlessly. And I don't think I've ever seen that done before. Secondly, it is the only film that I can think of, and if I'm wrong, you please tell me. It is the only film I can think of that has contributed 3 catchphrases to the modern culture. I can't think of any other film that's put 3 real strong catchphrases out there. And I'm not talking about just crap that your idiot friends quote to each other when they're drunk sitting around eating tacos. I'm talking about 3 catchphrases. It's got Show Me the Money, You complete me, you had me at hello. Right there. Bam! Three. So if I ever interview Cameron Crowe, which I hope he's on the list. If I hope to do that. If I ever interview him, I'm going to ask him what it's like to create a catchphrase. Because that's just a weird... It's a weird thing. It's a weird phenomenon. All right. Hello. It's 6 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Bam! Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I am he. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Monday. And welcome to Day 12. Hope you had a safe and productive weekend. Let me give you the telephone numbers. It's 503-733-2970. Show me the phone calls. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Seriously, can I just say, when I was working for Citadel in Salt Lake and that movie came out, my office was right by the office of the general sales manager. And so I would just have to hear this inane, like, white guy sales patter all day long. And so I would hear, like, the AE would go in there, and he'd say, well, I'm heading out to try to close that, you know, that auto man account or whatever. And the GSM would give him, like, the real, like, the finger pistols. And, hey, show me the money, Tiger. And it was just, after a while, you just felt your soul blackening. It's 503-733-2970. You want to join us today with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your corrections, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. You want to email as well? You can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. The rest of the crew, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, Scotty J at 970.am. 503-733-2970. All right, before I say anything else, I should tell you that today, in this hour, and Sarah and I talked about this before the program, we decided to do this now because if I say I'm going to do it later, we'll put it off and we'll get to it at like 2:40, and then we'll never get to it. So this hour, we will recap Friday's show. We weren't really able to... Somebody suggested that we should have done it Thursday to recap it Friday. But we did it Friday, so we're going to recap it today. I have boiled down Friday's genius into just a few segments. So about 12, 13 minutes of audio, I have boiled down the greatness of Friday's program, which... I don't want to make this all about the genius of us and how great we are, but I do have to say, and I'm simply reporting facts here, just passing along happenings, things that were said to me. If I had been keeping a list of everybody who collared me Friday and Saturday and informed me that Friday was, in fact, best show ever, I mean, I put a sampling. If you go to rickemerson.com, I put a sampling of the email that I received on my website. I put 15 or 20 emails up there, and really, it really does set a new high and low. I mean, really, I don't know if it's a gold standard. It is at least some sort of a tin standard. So you can go to rickemerson.com and see that. But we will be recap, because Scotty doesn't remember anything after about 1:30. That was about the time that Dennis came in, and I think that's the point at which Scotty just began to gray out, I think, inside. So we'll be getting to that here in just a few minutes. We'll start recapping Friday's show. And we'll just take it chronologically all the way through. Are you reading the emails?
Yes.
It's fantastic. It really is. It's gold. All right, so we'll do that. We will be recapping Friday's Fortifying Wine Tasting, in which Scotty J was the witting participant.
I've never heard someone go crazy in real time.
The great thing about it is, for comparative purposes, is there's a few phrases that he says at the beginning of Friday's show that he then started saying again at the end, so you really can do a side-by-side before and after A-B cause-and-effect comparison. Like, when at the beginning of the show, he started singing Night Train, and then at the end of the show, he was singing it, and it's like, man, it's like one's in squiggle vision and one ain't. So we'll be recapping Friday's show here in just a few minutes. Also joining us today, Lisa Goddard will be covering the departure of Karl Rove from the Bush White House, which really ought to be getting more play. I mean, it seems like it's being weirdly downplayed for some reason, which doesn't make any sense to me. Jim Roop will join us today. We'll talk about the passing of Merv Griffin, who departed this dimension over the weekend. We'll do the top five today. I thought about having Scotty come up with the top five hangover songs. Top five drunk songs. Scotty, you got a while if you want to do that. If you feel like you can put together like a top five drunk or hangover songs, you can do that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, we got a kiss contest. That's with a K. Kiss contest today, for which this is yet another excuse to be using all of my kiss audio, which is just fantastic. Let's see if I can find this over here. Let's see. Kiss. Where's my kiss audio at? All right, here we go. Who wants to hear some Kiss audio?
Hey.
All right, hey, let's hear something that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley recorded for me, Rick Emerson. Let me just
This is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. KISSology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991. The Ultimate KISS Collection on DVD is in stores August 14th, and we would like you to have a copy before that. So for more details on how you can win one, keep it locked to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
That's fantastic. Well, let's hear another one, shall we? Hey, here's another one.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley, and you're listening to The Rick Emerson Show, and there's no doubt you're a card-carrying member of the mighty KISS Army, and we're here to repay that loyalty. We're giving away advanced copies of KISSology Volume 2 on DVD, and one might just have your name on it. Go to 970.am to find out more. Thanks for supporting KISS, and thanks for listening to The Rick Emerson Show. He said it right here on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Come on, how great is that? In your face, everybody who's not me. That is just wonderful. It doesn't even matter. You know what? I don't even care. I'm just going to wallow around in that one all day. Doesn't matter what happens the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the month. That's a high watermark right there. All right, so coming up today, we'll be giving away KISSology Volume 2 on DVD. There's two ways to win that. We're going to be giving away copies during the week right here on the air, and then we're going to be giving away copies to the Glorious Bastards, some of those guys. If you are an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, you may indeed be winning a copy of KISSology Volume 2. We were giving away Dew Tour tickets all last week. This week, KISSology Volume 2, and the next week, I can't even get ahead of myself, but next week we got something great we're giving away too. But this week, you got to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastard for your chance to win those online. But we're going to be giving away copies of KISSology Volume 2 on the air and then to the Glorious Bastard. So be listening to that. All right, 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
Oh, good. Scotty actually inspired me not to drink on Friday night.
Really?
I stayed in and watched movies.
See, it really was an object lesson. Do you know what I mean? It really was. When I said that we were having Scotty, it was sort of a controlled social experiment on Friday in the public service. And when I said it was sort of in the public service and interest, it was sort of half a joke, but really not. I was talking to Laura about it later. And I said, it's easy to lie to oneself. And you can say to yourself, you know what, when I get intoxicated, I sound just fine. There's nothing wrong with the way I sound when I drink. But you know, you don't all sound like Scotty, but everybody changes. Everybody becomes different when you're really, really plowed. And you can sort of delude yourself into thinking that you're exactly the same, except funnier and a better driver. And then you listen to Scotty, and suddenly you realize that really you are probably some variation on that when you're really drunk. And, you know, in your own special way, everybody becomes Scotty J when they're three sheets to the wind. So it really was sort of a insert yourself here after many, many shots. Fantastic.
And then I saw a really crappy movie yesterday.
Now, is it Supernova or Sunshine?
It's called Sunshine, and I had never heard of it. My friend Kyle convinced me to go because he said the preview looked really cool.
Calm down.
It was so bad.
Wait, so this was in the theater. It wasn't like on a DVD.
It's at Fox 10, Fox Tower.
Oh, so it's like a major, like real actual movie release.
Yeah, it's an independent film, but it's... Oh, God, it was so bad. And it had Cillian Murphy in it. It was produced by the same guy who did 28 Days Later and Trainspotting.
Oh, Danny Boyle?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And I tried to like it, especially since I spent $7.50 of my own hard-earned money to go there and watch that.
I think I remember reading some reviews of that months ago on Ain't It Cool, and they said the special effects were intermittently great and terrible. And
it was just a completely bizarre scenario where it's in the future and the sun's burning out, so they're trying to fly a separate, like they've made their own man-made star.
Oh my God.
To throw it into the middle of the sun.
Oh my God, tell me, is the ship called the Icarus?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard all about that movie, it's terrible.
Oh my God, it was the worst thing ever. Yes. And they talked to Icarus, and all of them were like, it was weird, like getting off on the sun. Like this guy's like, show me how bright I can see the sun. He's like, raise it to a 3.1 Icarus. And she's like, yes, John. Oh, it's just wrong.
Oh, the ship talks to them?
The ship talks to them, has like a sexy lady voice, and this guy becomes obsessed with the sun, and they just stand there and stare at it.
You suppose that it occurred to them at some point that maybe it's not a good idea to name a ship flying towards the sun toward a guy who died flying toward the sun? I wonder if that occurred to anybody in Hollywood. No.
And you keep waiting for the scary part to happen, and then at the end it happens, and it's like, wow, this really isn't so scary.
You're like, wait, I waited 90 minutes for this. Now I can go kill myself.
And it completely makes no sense.
Excellent. Go see it today, won't you?
Yeah.
Sunshine. Well, that's wonderful.
You did the 48-hour film festival.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll talk about that in a second, actually. I also did that. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification.
Well, no advisor to any president ever knew how to exploit the stupidity of the average American better than Karl Rove.
Here's to you.
With no more missions left to accomplish, Karl Rove resigns. Oh, that gash in the space shuttle that we're told is nothing is much worse than expected. The big gash in the space shuttle.
Who? Never mind. Go ahead.
Space shuttle. There's been an arrest following a road rage shooting at the Vista Ridge Tunnel over the weekend. 10 survive a boat exploding on the Willamette. And Charo and Joan Rivers will salute the life of Merv Griffin. More poison Chinese toothpaste is being recalled, and a disgraced Chinese toy maker hangs himself following the shame of a massive recall of his wares.
You know, I bet he had to use good, strong American rope for that. That Chinese rope isn't going to work. All right, I didn't even know Charo was still alive, by the way.
Yeah, Charo will live forever.
Charo will never die. Her and Dolly Parton, they really are sort of weird mirror images of each other. You know, she's kind of the Latin Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
All right. There was a great headline in Yahoo News, by the way, this weekend. I sent several people sent me screen captures. It said, "Gash overshadows space shuttle." All right, let's see. What are we doing? Well, we got this. So all of that is coming up. We say goodbye to Karl Rove and so forth. I'm not going on no sleep now. I was up until last night. I went to bed at around 9 o'clock last night. By 9 o'clock last night, let me put it this way. From Friday until Saturday night, or Sunday night, rather, from Friday until last night around 9 o'clock, I had a total of about 7 hours of sleep this weekend. And I got off lucky. There were many people who had absolutely no sleep. A bunch of us did the 48-hour film festival. Which is, if you're not familiar, and I'm not going to go on and on about it because it's very, you know, it's not a thing a lot of people know about, but it's where you, on Friday night, you get these filmmaking teams together, and then on Friday night at 7 o'clock, you draw a genre, literally out of a hat, like a sorting hat. You draw a genre out of a hat, and then you have 48 hours to write, shoot, film, edit, score, everything, a short film from scratch. Original music, everything. It has to be completed, done, and finished. An absolute finished, completed, from scratch, 100% original film within 48 hours. So you draw the genre at Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then you got to finish it. You got to hand it in to the guy, and there's like a guy with a stopwatch. You got to hand it in Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And so myself and my friend Jarris and Nate Baker and I were all on one team. The great thing about this was, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, because just this one coincidence. You go and you draw your genre out of a hat, and then, you know, the director does that, and then he calls home to the filmmaking crew, and he's like, "Hey, we got action," or, "Hey, we got, we got horror film," or whatever. And so Nate and I are sitting at home, because we were doing some of the writing on it, and so we're sitting there waiting for it. We get the call from our director, Jarris, and he's like, "Hey, we drew superhero genre." And so we're like, "Well, that's great, superhero film." So Nate and I immediately set to work writing the superhero film. About 3 minutes later, Jarris calls us to tell us that Aaron Geek in the City, and who else is on Aaron's team, by the way? On a competing team, Aaron Geek in the City, Scott Daly, Jason Crump, Diana from Downtown, all of the usual pack of, misfits and dope fiends, and then Fat Boy from KUFO. So it's like Nerd Central over there. And then they drew the goddamn superhero genre, too. I mean, it was perfect. It was like a full-on, it's
nerd
on moment.
Nerd.
Seriously, it was like a there can be only one moment. So Aaron's group had to do a superhero film, as did our group. And then they're going to be screening later this week. So that's what I did. I spent 48 hours, most of them awake. We're trying to get this, helping to get this 48-hour this film done. So anyway, if I'm a little loopy today, it's just because both days I went to bed at about 6 in the morning and slept for about 3.5 hours. So good times. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let me get these calls, and then what we'll do is we won't break for a while here. We'll take these calls. And then Then we're going to give the people what they want. We're going to do a recap of Friday's show, and we'll find out how Night Ranger went for Scotty on Saturday. Let's see here. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I was one of these people that watched Merv Griffin. I'm old enough to remember the black and white. Because he died, I was reading over his career. And have you ever Wikipedia'd him or something? I mean, because you're kind of in the same business, entertainment and all that.
I have not, no.
You really should. It's amazing. He's one of these guys, like you, me, and everybody else that I know. We all learn by making mistakes, and you typically got 15, 20 different turns before you figure out what you're doing. This is a guy who, from the time he was a little kid, this led to that, led to that, led to that. I mean, the guy never made a wrong move.
No, and, the number of people, know him for a handful of things, but the number of pies that guy had his hands in,
I mean, it was amazing.
He's like Aaron Spelling. He's just one of those guys who's responsible for about 80% of the stuff you've ever seen.
Oh, I know, exactly. Yeah. And you think about, you know, the interviews that the man's had and the people that he's known. And, I mean, it was just like, it's as if the man never made a wrong turn or something. It's really interesting reading. I mean, from an investment point of view and an entertainment.
Now, Merv Griffin was an American icon. He really was, and a business icon. Yeah, we'll be doing a whole snuff watch on him later, sir.
Fantastic. Oh, and Scotty, it was like on Friday. I went and tried, of course, to upload the podcast, and predictably so, you know, the last 2 hours were nowhere to be
found.
There's
no listening to those.
And it was just amazing. I kept hearing one thing after another, and I'm like, that's turning into a soundbite.
And they all did, sir. All right, excellent. Thank you.
Bye
now.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Without further ado, you want to drop the mono bed there?
Yes, I do.
Let's just go ahead and...
Scotty J, his jokes barely register as lame. Scotty J buys his underwear used on eBay. Scotty J.
Scotty J, if you'll join us in the studio.
Strippers upstairs at Dante's. Scotty J screens the calls and makes Rick go insane. Scotty J. Pillow wall keeps him from getting laid. Scotty J. Can't be funny, but he tries it anyway. Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you doing today?
That song is so old.
That song is in the prime of its life. That song has yet to peak. You know, here's the thing about that Chocolate Rain song. This is what they always used to tell me when I was a DJ. I would complain about how some song was just burnt. You know, like I remember playing some Lenny Kravitz song for like the 900,000th time. It was like, Are You Gonna Go My Way?
I think. Oh, yeah.
And just playing that Lenny Kravitz song and just being like, bitching to my program director about it. I'm like, you know, this song is so freaking overplayed. Like, everybody's sick of it. And he had this sage bit of advice, which I don't know whether it's true or not, but this is what he said. He would go, dude, the moment that the DJ becomes absolutely sick, you know, to the teeth of the song, that's just when the people are getting into it. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's always kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, because I'm kind of tired of that song, so hopefully the people like it.
But see, we like to think that, you know, we like to think that every single person listens to every single minute of the show, but unfortunately people have lives, so they're probably only like one-third as sick as we are. So we're going to keep playing that Scotty J song for well, at least the rest of the week. Because he was just on Kimmel last week, which means he is right now he's cresting. So we're going to continue to ride that Chocolate Rain train.
We might hit number 3 on the Billboard charts.
We're the bullets. We're bubbling under. We're a power mover, a power player, whatever. Whatever they used to call that, big mover of the week or something. All right. So we've got all this audio from. So we should ask you first and foremost, how was Night Ranger on Saturday, Scotty?
It was awesome. I didn't go.
Yeah, I know. I know. So this is what happens. So Scotty, of course, you know, as a controlled social experiment, we had the fortified wine tasting on Friday. So, Scotty, and let me just say, by the way, that I spent the entire week setting up that Night Ranger gig for you.
I know.
You got him, like, front row tickets
and
everything.
I would have loved it.
Here's what Scotty had. Like, can I just tell you this, and I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but let me just tell you what I arranged for Scotty at this Night Ranger concert on Saturday. Front row seats, backstage, meet and greet with the band. And by the way, all free, of course. Front row seats. Oh, we can probably lose that. Front row seats, backstage, meet and greet with the band. You were going to ride back to Portland with them.
And Jaeger shots with them, too.
Yeah. You were going to be, seriously, because they were going from the Dalles to Portland and then I think down to, like, L.A. or something. But they were all driving. So you were going to be driving back to Portland with them. They were going to be coming with you back to Portland. And then from here, they were going to go on. And then, of course, you were going to be stage introing them at the gig.
Right. I think we can, as a group, say we were all wrong in this situation.
No.
I didn't have backstage passes.
Can we acknowledge for a moment exactly how much stuff I did arrange for you at Night Ranger?
I can't believe it, and I hope I get that opportunity again.
You're never getting that opportunity again.
Okay, so what you're telling me is pour 16 gallons of alcohol down your throat and try to wake
up. It was more than a day later. It was a full 24 hours plus later.
I got to tell you, I functioned on Saturday and Sunday.
Here's what I got from Saturday. On Saturday afternoon, here's what happened. So Scotty does the whole thing on Friday, and then Saturday at around noon, I get this text message from Scott. He's like, not going to Night Ranger. Sorry.
That's about it, too.
And then I didn't hear any. He left me a voicemail, and he's like, so, I'm not feeling. Hi, Rick. This is Scotty J. I'm not feeling. And Scotty always announces himself with, like, his full title whenever he calls me. So he leaves me a voicemail. He goes, hey, Rick, this is Scotty J. I'm not feeling so well. And then what was the other excuse you gave for not going to this Night Ranger thing that I painstakingly set up that your friends bailed on you?
Yes.
Now, I didn't think you were going with your friends anyway.
No, he just
anyway.
Hesitated.
I thought you were going.
I was going to go with a friend.
You were going with Mrs. J.
Right. In the end, because she really made it a point saying, I really want to go.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I arranged that, told the friend, forget it. And the friend said, oh, okay, because it didn't really work out for this friend anyways.
Uh-huh.
And then when I tell Mrs. J, okay, you're in. Let's go. Let's do it. She's like, can't find a sitter. You should have told me earlier.
You told her like 2 days beforehand, didn't you?
It was like a day.
Do you suppose there was another reason for this? Was there another reason why Mrs. J didn't want to accompany you to Night Ranger?
Well, that's another story.
What is that story, Scotty?
Saturday morning, I kind of woke up with one eye, you know, looking around the room. And there she was with the old hand up against her ear like, I don't think that was very funny, and blah, 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 the whole nine yards.
So there's a little bit of grudge holding.
Yeah, but
so
is that why, we're patched.
Is that why she didn't go to Night Ranger with you?
No, we literally couldn't find a babysitter. And at that point, not feeling so well, I just said, you know what, I'm not driving to the gorge by myself.
Yes. Okay, so I'm not going to take advantage of this package that Rick put together. But just so you know, that will never be offered to you again, incidentally. Just so you're aware of that.
No, you blew it, dude.
Well, it's not.
On stage, look, I know, look, and I'm aware that it's Night Ranger, who are not like a currently peaking band. And I'm aware that it's not like it's the Kingdom. But, I mean, on stage, announcing Night Ranger in front of your peeps.
I love what you did.
Backstage, front row seats, I arranged for you.
But on the other hand, uh-huh. I told you guys if I drank on Friday, it would screw up Night Ranger. And
you never told us that. In fact, at the end, you know, don't push me, dude. At the end of Friday's show, you were repeatedly telling us how much you were looking forward to going to Night Ranger.
Over and over again.
At the end of it, you were like, I can't wait to go to your sister Christian, Night Ranger.
Yep.
You could not have been more into it.
I believe I said it on Thursday.
No. On
Friday.
No. Here's what I'm saying. On Thursday, I said, if I drink on Friday, I really don't want to do this because it'll ruin my Night Ranger. And that's what happened.
That's another thing, by the way, that's not true. let's stop the retrofitting of lies over the truth of this week right now. Because here's the other thing. Your birthday was on Tuesday, right? And then we're going to actually go through the audio here in a second. Your birthday was on Tuesday. We had originally planned to have the fortified wine tasting on Tuesday. So it was doubled as a birthday party, right?
Right.
So Sarah and I are like, hey, Scotty, don't drive on Tuesday. Get a ride, take the bus, take the Max, whatever. Don't drive to work on Tuesday because you can't be driving home. You got to be able to have a different way home, so don't drive. Tuesday comes. Scotty drives to work. And we're like, well, what's up with that? And he's like, well, I got to go out with my family later for my birthday. And Sarah and I said, well, you know what? The wine tasting's off. Then too bad you missed out on this great thing. And what did we hear repeatedly throughout the day? Well, we can do it later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, there's no need that we to get rid of it. We could do it later on. Let's do it on Thursday. Let's do it on Friday.
You were constantly
pushing us to do it later in the week.
The deal is I didn't know what it was that I was agreeing to.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
When we tell you not to drive, we say, Scotty, don't drive.
But you
got to get
told
a ride.
Me exactly what it was.
When someone tells you you're going to need to get a ride home afterward, you can't be driving after we do this. What do you suppose that means?
I know what I suppose, but I was never actually told that.
You are in fact a grown man who's been drinking, I would say, competitively now for probably 25 years. You totally knew what we
I
were
doing. I did some
do.
Of my own Sherlock Holmesing.
All right. So who wants to begin listening to Friday's sound?
All right.
Thank you very much, Scotty.
Oh, is that it?
No, I don't want to, you know, I know you got stuff to do. I know you're still playing a little bit of catch-up, as they say. Because I know that only the first 2 hours of Friday's show are posted. We've got people who listen to us in other markets, like I don't know, people like you know, Seamus in Colorado, those guys in Kuwait who listen to us. And I know it's a huge cliffhanger because what I think we got up until about 1 o'clock posted online, and just as he was
it was getting good,
right as the wheels were coming off the wagon, that's when the podcasting quit. Because and to his credit though, at the end of Friday's show, and can I just say this, and then we have to start playing it. To his credit, at the end of Friday's show, he was like, I got to get that podcast posted. But
he really was.
That was clearly not going to happen.
And all you wanted to do was get him out of the building.
Yeah, because, well, and this is my fault. I put this on me. We had no exit strategy. I had never, like, we had Mrs. J drop him off on Friday. But what I failed to do, I failed to then say, and make sure she knows to be here at 3 to pick you up. I just sort of forgot. Like, it never occurred to me that we had to have somebody wrench to pick him up. And so it gets to be around 2:45, and suddenly I was like, well, wait a minute, how's he getting home after this? And there was that moment of realization that, like, I thought you had the key. No, I thought you had the key. And there was no, there was no plan made to get him out of here. And so, thankfully, though, I mean, we just, you know, we did come up with something at the end of the show. We got him taken care of. But I'd never really thought that part out. So at the end of the program, though, he was still like, I got to go put up the radio and the podcast. But that obviously would have taken hours. So anyway, let's see. So let's just do this. Let's, all right, let's just start. And I'm going to play these in order here.
Oh, boy.
So this is the beginning of, this is the beginning of Friday. This is around noon when the fortified wine tasting begins. So this is when, before he has consumed anything. Am I up over there? Is that me? Is it not? Is that why it's not? Oh, it's. Oh, you know, I have it turned down over here. That's my fault. Sorry. All right. The Mad Dog is probably the worst.
Well, I would say Thunderbird, and then.
Are you going from bottom to top? Like worst,
no, I'd
to,
say,
worst to best?
I'm going from top to bottom. Thunderbird, worst. I'd say Night Train is up
there.
So this
is him ranking all the wine.
Well, I'm on the Night Train.
Don't do that.
And MD is 3, and that last one, actually, the blue popsicle one, looks pretty good.
Okay, so where would you like to start?
I would like to start at the number one worst.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how you rank them. Tell me what.
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Let's crack it open.
I can just tell it's going to burn my gut.
Well, you'll be fine.
Oh, it's.
Yeah.
No, that's a good place to start then, Scott.
I can't believe you bought little plastic cups.
It kind of makes you want to hurl just smelling it.
All right, Scott, take it like a man.
Hold on.
I'm only going to take a taster.
No, you're going to have to.
No.
Don't be a wimp.
I took a little taste.
Have a little more.
Finish it, Scotty.
Finish it like a man.
I mean, it's
come
not,
on, be a man.
It's not horrific.
Be a man.
If this is the worst, it's going to be a great day.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Come on, open your mouth.
Come on, be a man. Don't be a sissy.
Open your mouth and let the train go through.
No, this is the bird flying through. Open your
inner bird of drunkenness.
And he's sitting right next to me.
Come on, finish it.
But then come on, Scotty.
All right, excellent.
There he goes.
How do you feel?
Does it burn? What are your immediate sensations?
My immediate sensation is to take a lighter and blow my breath out in the air and shoot fire across the room.
Is the cigarette sounding pretty good right now?
All right. You want one more before you go?
No, you can retire that for ever.
Oh, no, you'll have more of that later. Do you want another one before you go?
Yeah.
Mm. One for the road. One for the walk back to your office.
You want another Thunderbird or you want to try something else?
Do you want to try some Night Train?
I can let the audience
pick. Let's take a little ride on the Night Train real fast.
I'm going to use the same glass.
Take a ride on the Night Train.
All right,
take
hold
a
on.
Ride on the Night Train.
All right, Scotty, there's a little Night Train for you. This is a public service, by the
okay.
way.
Okay. It has a cranberry froth to it.
Cranberry froth.
Cranberry froth.
And a slight burning of rubbing alcohol in my throat.
Pungent. It stings the nostrils.
Welcome to Scotty's Speakeasy.
This was a good year.
All right, finish.
Last week, probably.
Finish it, please. Oh. Actually,
that almost came back
okay.
up.
Seriously, that one was fighting to get back out.
Almost on my sleeve.
That was fighting to get back out. I saw it.
Nope, it was delicious.
All right, we'll bring you back a little later for some Mad Dog. Thank you, Scotty.
Please don't.
The best part is how even with that first one, he actually is forecasting. He's like, they're all like this. It's going to be a great day. And you will notice as we play all these cuts, and again, these are all in chronological order. It's about every.
Oh, we totally have time, too. We can play them.
Oh, no, I got all of these. And we take an audio bite about every 20 minutes. I have audio from about every 20 minutes, and you'll hear him getting progressively drunker. Note, by the way, as we do all of these, how Tim is the one who pushes him to really drink.
Oh, Tim's a total instigator.
Tim is the devil on your shoulder.
Ones.
Yeah, Tim is totally. No, it's good for you, Scotty. It'll cure what ails you. Drink it all. Be a man.
Oh, I love Tim.
Tim is really fantastic. So, all right. This is the. This is about 20 minutes later. This is Scotty drinking again.
Morning, Metolia.
Welcome, Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Scotty J has been sampling a wide variety of fortified.
Oh, this is with Roop. Roop is on the phone for doing this.
Oh, and this
one.
Is when the Thunderdog. The Thunderdog's
this is, yeah, the Thunderdog, which then became the Tropical
Thunderbird and Thunderdog is that's Sarah's creation, I think.
The Thunderdog is Jim Root, so the tropical Thunderdog.
So the Thunderdog is Thunderbird and Mad Dog, Orange Jubilee Mad Dog. And then the tropical Thunderdog is Thunderbird, Orange Jubilee Mad Dog, and then that Boone's Farm
blue apple. Tropical stuff.
So here's with Roof. I had wines all day on the program.
Yeah, good.
So so just in the interest of journalistic integrity, you were saying you felt Night Train.
I felt Night Train.
Okay.
For me. It's a personal preference.
That's amazing, Jim, because I've had a couple of the Night Trains.
Oh, my God. He looks drunk.
Was it two or three of them?
You've had three of those.
Give a good... Rick, I don't feel like you're filling
and
that glass
enough. I worked it down with some MD 2020 orange citrus-flavored whatever. But, yeah, I got to say, so far, Night Train isn't as bad. No, Rick, that's way too much. Okay, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, you can totally finish that.
No, I totally can't because I'll be, like, talking to the wall. Hi, I'm Scotty J.
You want to talk about vanilla ice a little bit?
Excellent.
I feel your ice. You're so white.
What?
The wall paint, that is.
All right.
All right, we're just gonna. Scotty needs this to drink by, apparently. Hold on, let me just. Okay, ready to finish that with the chorus?
No, Rick. I gotta say no, Rick.
Don't wanna hear the chorus? All right.
You can finish it, Scotty.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No. I need to pace.
That's a shame.
What'd you say?
I need to what?
Pace. I need to pace myself.
He needs to pace himself.
And just finish that, and I'll put the Night Train away.
What you said earlier, I need to do that, too.
You finish that, I'll put the Night Train away. I'll put the Night Train away for the rest of the day.
We'll retire it.
We'll retire the Night Train if you finish that.
I actually like the Night Train.
Well, then you got to finish that.
I gotta just finish it. You have like one step left.
We are the very definition of peer pressure. Listen to that. We are totally that bad crowd your mother warns you about. No. You look grown up. Don't be a sissy.
I don't think there's any coming back with Mrs. J either. I think we're screwed.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? I got the chorus.
The MD 2020. I mean, it's no wonder they like it. It's like tangy.
Well, you know what? You finished that, you know,
like
Mad Dog.
I feel like I'm in space when I drink.
I got the chorus right here. Ready?
Give me some chorus.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on. Go!
I'm on the Night Train!
Come on, Scotty.
Yuck.
Where are you, Scotty?
Ready to crash and burn.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right.
Bye now.
What do you want when you come back?
To get the tangy.
I kind of like the tang.
You want the Mad Dog?
I'd like to
go to outer space a little bit later.
Excellent. Thank you, Scotty. All right, so we got three more. Do we need a break, or can we
keep
rolling?
No, we can keep on. Let's just go.
All right, so here's...
do it.
So that is segment two. So that is at about 1:15 or so. So at that point, he's been drinking for about an hour. All right, so this is cut three. This is about 20 minutes.
What goes wrong? It's him we blame, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
No matter what goes wrong, it's him we blame.
I didn't write.
Oh, this is when he's starting to get drunk.
Yeah, this is when the slurring is really kicking in. How are you doing?
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Doing great, Rick.
Really? Is that?
No.
Which of these drinks do you like the best of ours? Is it the Thunderdog? Is that the one that you
like the Thunderdog?
Enjoyed the most?
It was okay. I like Thunderbird, and I like the MD 2020 because it's kind of got an orangish tang.
Yeah. But you didn't like the, but the Thunderdog is consists of both.
Thunderdog is. Yeah.
You like the Thunderdog though. Of all the glasses you have had, that's the one you enjoy the most.
I don't know. I mean, and I'll try it one more time myself.
Press each of those one more time.
Yeah, which song do you want to accompany that? Sarah, do you want to come pour something?
Yes.
All right, Scotty. Now,
that doesn't even look like the last one you.
No, it is. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing, Scotty.
Now, Scotty,
it's like it's three quarters full instead of half full, and it's like
it all depends on your perspective.
All right. Really deep orange color instead of like a light orange color. Something's wrong.
I watched it for it. It's more.
There's nothing wrong, Scotty. Nothing.
Oh, that's
wrong
what I secretly poured Night Train
in. Fine. What? I didn't know that.
Oh, I totally did. That's why it was darker orange.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, I put a splash of Night
Train. And Tim's denying it. There's nothing wrong.
Really deep orange color instead. instead of like a light orange color. Something's wrong.
I watch report. It's more
There's
or less.
There's nothing wrong, Scotty. Nothing wrong at all.
It's fine.
There's something wrong about this whole bit.
No. Everything's right with this bit,
Scotty. I think you guys are trying to get me drunk.
No.
All right. Ridiculous.
We want you to enjoy yourself.
All right, Scotty. We'll roll a little Guns N' Roses for this one. We'll roll a little mystery song for the next one. Hold on a second. Let me get the chorus here. You ready? Here comes the big chorus, Scotty. Who's on the night train, Scotty?
Woo, I'm on the night train.
All right. Let's go.
You know what? Not bad, sir.
Yeah?
Right. Not bad. I mean, the color of this drink looks pertruse and gross.
I think pertruse is that general in Iraq. Oh, wait, let me back it up here. Hold on.
I like the fact that he says, I'm on the night train never to return. That's not me.
No, I'll you return.
I'll return.
All right, here we go.
And then we'll
finish that, and then we'll roll it with the other song.
I'm on the night train.
Go.
I never learned.
Go.
You know what, sir? I mean, you mix a whole bunch of crap together. It tastes great.
Scotty, drink that crap.
And it's less filling.
Excellent.
Woo! Gone and done.
Excellent.
Now, if I had to report on that taste, I don't think the average bar guy pulling up to the bar would say, oh, give me this taste, because it was like rank. However, when it's the only thing you have, like a mice, you know, pecking, like a mouse pecking at a little bottle, you know?
A mouse pecking at a ball.
It tastes great.
As we've often seen.
It's less filling. So there you go.
Why is the mouse pecking?
Because he's addicted. He's addicted to whatever's coming out of that little bottle.
Balls.
The mouse loves balls.
Are you the mouse in this story?
I'm just surprised to know.
Are you the balls?
You know what? I am thankful today. I did not hear crickets. So thank you.
All right, so there you go. So amazingly, we are not done. It's not even 2 o'clock on that day. So I got two more cuts. Should I just roll with this?
Yeah, I think we should do it.
All right, so this is the fourth cut. This, I believe, is when Dennis Pitzenbarger is here. So we are now...
go ahead.
We're now entering the zone when Scotty can no longer remember anything.
Scotty remembers seeing Dennis and then doesn't remember anything after that.
Yeah, so this is after Dennis.
This is blackout.
Yeah, I don't think you hear Dennis in this cut, but he is in the room. This is after Dennis has joined us.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Here, Scotty.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our PA, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great, Rick. I love you.
Do you want another Tropical Thunder Dog, Scotty?
Excellent.
Did you call me?
No, yes, I did just now.
I thought you came over when you were talking. You came over.
Everybody stop. These are great headphones. I have the cheapest headphones in the world.
Yes.
And these are awesome. It's like I hear myself in the third dimension.
Sounds
great.
All right, then. How would you rank the drinks that you've been having so far? Where did you like that last, the Tropical Thunder Dog?
I got to tell you. You know what? It looked the most putrid of all. It looked the most disgusting. It was the most Frankenstein, ugly-looking drink I've ever seen in my life. And it was the best one. Sarah, what was it called again?
The Tropical Thunder Dog.
Oh, it was Tropical Thunder Dog. That one has some taste.
Excellent. All right.
And vividity.
Please just spell vividity.
And then define it.
Yes, seriously. Pleased to be spelling that.
V-I. V-I.
Here's a pen, Scotty.
V.
V-I-D. Uh-huh.
I-T-Y. B-E-S-T-T-A-S-T-E.
Excellent. Thank you. All right.
Am I right?
No,
finally?
You really are. No, it's fantastic. All right. So here's the final cut. This is the last one I pulled. I mean, there's like about 45 minutes after this, but at a certain point, it just degenerated into a lot of like, you know, and it was like...
It really wasn't making a lot of sense. They started to get like angry every once in a while.
Lashing out for no reason. I do have later. We can pull this. I do have his big long rant about what Sister Christian is about. And he's like, when you make a lot of money and you sell your house. All right, but this is the last thing I've got at the moment. This is when Aaron Geek in the City has joined us. So Aaron is in the studio standing right next to Scotty, who I think has just been served another tropical thunder dog. Let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the way.
Together, Scotty.
What?
Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran.
No.
Hi. Hi, Aaron. How's it going?
Hi, Aaron. He's wearing his headphones on his ears. They're like on the sides of his head.
Scotty, those earphones have to be over your ears to work.
No, because it's too loud. Too loud, man.
You've got a
volume.
You've got to twist your knob.
No, I don't even know where my knob is.
Next to Naboo.
Fantastic. Were you just telling Sarah to shut up about something during the break?
Yeah, you were telling me.
Why were you telling Sarah to shut up?
I thought she should, like, listen to me.
Does she listen to you?
Never.
Just like all the other women.
Like all the others.
Have you talked to Mrs. J today?
She hates me.
Would you like another refill? What were you drinking over there?
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucio, the two-pronged crown, that was great.
What was that?
Was that English?
The two-pronged one?
The cheese stands.
Who would you like to mix something for you?
Sarah,
would you like to mix something? You
want
to
make you another tropical thunder dog?
Oh, that was a good one.
And then we'll pick the song that you want to drink to.
Oh,
Scotty has consumed another Lunchable. How is that Lunchable? You still feel that they're flawless?
It was damn great ham.
All right, so there you go. That's the last thing I pulled this morning. It's let's just hear that one more time. By the way,
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucio, the two-pronged crown, that was great.
The Green Metalushi of the two-pronged crown?
That's genius. That's fantastic. Wonderful.
I'll play it one more time, please.
Okay, just say it one more time. Here.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Metalushi of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
That's excellent.
I don't even know what that would be.
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that he didn't want to go, like, he didn't want to go home, or whatever, like, wherever. Like, I think he wanted me to join you guys. Like, I think he was all bent on, like, having, like, the three of us on the town Friday afternoon. So
I love the emails, reading all the emails on your website, and the guy who's completely convinced that Scotty's a hired actor that we have.
No, it's true. No, I had many, many people like, it's not real. He's faking it. There were multiple people. The first thing I got asked at the 48-hour film festival, by the way, was people were like, I heard that. Was he playing it up? I mean, everybody thought that he was playing it up, that he was exaggerating it, that he was somehow exacerbated for comic.
It really isn't. I mean, if you've heard anything from the Vanilla Ice tapes, you know that's exactly what he sounds like.
Oh, no, it's true. In fact, let's do a side-by-side comparison here. Hold on a second. Let's, I've got, by way of comparison here, I've got, let's see, do I have the, just we're going to do this, and then we got a break here just a second. Hold on a second. Let's just do a side-by-side comparison of these two, and then we'll take a break.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn it. This guy is joy everything.
This is what he sounds like at around 2:40, by the way. I haven't pulled this yet.
Can you finalize my brother?
And then finally...
This, go copyright 2000.
Oh, damn, that's me. That's me. That's totally me. So it was that, and then...
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucy of the...
You know who he is right here? I figured it out. You know who this is?
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucy of the...
This is Rick Moranis' thing in Ghostbusters about many shrimps and Jules knew what it was to be roasted in the giant stomach of a slur that day. I can tell you that.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled
with
the Green
Man Lucy...
That's total, okay, well, we should take a break here. We'll come back. All right, around the corner, we have your phone calls. We have Tim Ryan at the noon news hour. We have Jim Roop coming up later on. Lisa Goddard on the departure of Karl Rove. More about Scotty J's drunken misadventures on Friday. The top five and Clyde Lewis. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show. And let me say, just regarding your recent difficulties, it is staggering the number of things the state won't let you pay for with a credit card.
It's ridiculous. He's like, can you pay, put that on your checking account? I'm like, I have $30 in my checking account.
Like,
I can't.
It's like a tax bill or something?
Yes,
or...
it's my taxes from 2005 that all of a sudden they're just sending to me now.
That's handy.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, we did send it to you. I'm like, oh, really? Because I never received it, so you're calling me a liar?
I heard that back and forth, by the way. Can I pay that with my credit card? What, really? Well, crap. That was like me when I went to get my passport the other day. And she's like, that'll be $94, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, okay, do you take MasterCard? She's like, do you have a paper check? And thank God I had literally a paper check for some reason that I was, like, saving, like, tucked into my wallet or some crap. So,
oh, it's just frustrating.
All right. Let's quickly, we're ahead of schedule a little bit here, so let's quickly do these four calls, and then we'll go right to the noon news hour. Let's get these in no particular order. Hello, sir. You have
hey,
an update.
Rick.
You have an update on a man in a hot dog suit.
The saddest job in the world on the worst corner in the world. There's a dude in a hot dog suit up at the corner of 72nd and Southeast Slavelle.
Yeah! That's fantastic. What is he selling? Guns or
I have no idea what he's selling. I'm assuming it's hot dogs. I'm hoping it's hot dogs.
Wait, but see, have you noticed that? The suit that they're dressed up in is almost never what they're actually selling. Do you know what I mean?
It's probably tacos or something.
It's like a guy in a pizza slice in front of the Payday Loans place. That's how it always works. All right, 72nd and Flavel hot dog suit.
I've got a photograph that I'll send to you. And oh, the other thing that I wanted to ask you is that I heard you have a Series 2 TiVo. I was wondering if you might be interested in trading that for an Xbox 360. I can email you.
Well, email me. It would be wrong for me to discuss any of this on the air. I have a Series 2 TiVo sitting at my desk or in my closet at home that my office I'm not doing anything with. So, so drop me an email, sir.
I'll drop you that.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
Right, bye now. Let's just get these. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, this is Alan. I'm with my girlfriend, Emily. We listen to you every day.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. There's this platform off the coast of England.
Uh-huh.
Sealand. A guy founded his own country. It was built, like, back in, like, 1943.
Yeah, it's like it was an oil drilling derrick, right?
No, it was used for, shooting down the Luftwaffe planes, and they come from Germany and bomb England.
I have heard of that place. It's like a big... It looks like the deck of an aircraft carrier, but on stilts in the middle of the ocean, and it is an independent country, yeah.
Yeah, and they have their own currency and everything.
It's pretty cool, actually. It was for sale at one point for like $40 million. The guys who run the Pirate Bay, which is a file-sharing site that I don't know anything about, the guys who run the Pirate Bay file-sharing site tried to buy it at one point because they wanted to have their own country, the sole industry of which would be illegal file-sharing, and they weren't able to do it. But it's a pretty cool place. It's Sealand, S-E-A-L-A-N-D, and I think there's a whole documentary about it being made. Yeah.
Yeah, they have their own passport and everything.
It's very cool. You can buy buy residency on Sealand for like $500,000. They'll make you a resident.
Oh, no way.
Totally. It's cool. And they're like, what, you need to hide nuclear weapons? No problem. Buy a residency at Sealand. Tam, are you looking up Sealand facts?
The Principality of Sealand.
Yeah, it's the smallest country in the world. It's even smaller than the Vatican, I think.
Yeah, they have like 10 members of the country.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Thank you, sir.
It's a big platform.
All right, there you go. That's Alan.
Big platform on two pilings.
It looks like an oil rig, sort of. Yeah, but it's a small country. And you can buy your way into being a resident. But, yeah, there are only like 10 people there who are actually citizens of Sealand. But
it's off the coast of Suffolk in England, it says here.
It's pretty amazing, actually. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I got a celebrity sighting for you.
Okay.
Was at the Clackamas Costco and saw Tom Peterson.
And Gloria, too?
Actually, I think she was there.
Fantastic. You know, he really is great. He's a Portland icon that people don't really think about. But, man, Tom Peterson is, everybody knows him. He's like the ghostly floating head of Scott Thomason that used to line all the streets in Southeast.
It took me a while to recognize who he was. A bunch of old people were shaking his hands. I still got this buffet I bought from you. And it's like, oh, flat top. It's Tom Peterson.
Did you go up and say hello?
No, I didn't. I nodded at him and smiled.
Excellent. Fantastic. Did he look like he was, still kind of keeping it together?
Well, he was in black slacks, a polo, and a tweed jacket.
Oh, there you go. That's cool. See, guys like that are great because that's who I model myself on. So when I'm old, I don't just look like a tool. You know what I mean?
I have one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Over off of 181st and Division, there's a meat market, and the owner must have his kid standing out there, and there's two people dressed up like gorillas all the time in monkey suits waving at people, come to our meat market.
In like, front of a meat market? Try our new chimp burgers.
I wonder how effective that marketing plan is.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense. Excellent. I'm headed that way later today, sir, so I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Thank you. And
thank
final,
you, guys.
Final call, and then we'll do the news hour. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 Hello, hello, hello. Hey, Rick, I want you to find a clip of Barney on The Simpsons, the drunk guy on The Simpsons, and mash it up with Scotty at his drunkest. You're going to find again that they're really similar.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. We'll get on that.
Cool, man.
All right, there you go. We should do him with famous drunk throughout history, like Otis. And
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Les filled with the Green Man Lucy of the two-prong crown, that was great.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A car stolen 21 years ago has been returned to its owner. It's from the OSP. They recovered a 1940 Plymouth sedan stolen exactly 21 years ago. The owner of the Plymouth, Bruce Rask of Rainier, reported to police in August of 1986 that his 1940 Plymouth, the four-door sedan with suicide doors, he hoped to restore, had been stolen. Well, he received a telephone call today from an individual who unknowingly purchased the car from a third party. The individual purchased the car without a title and contacted Rask to obtain a release so he could register that vehicle. So they asked him questions, and then they drove to the caller's residence in Sheridan, where they found the long-lost car. Then they called the state police. It's all rusted out, though.
Really?
Yeah, it was stolen 21 years ago today.
And so but I don't understand. So the guy bought it without a title or any papers, but didn't know it was stolen.
Yeah.
That seems likely.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that guy offered to sell me a stereo a few years ago for like $12 or something.
No charges are anticipated against the man who is unaware of the stolen status. Never buy a motor vehicle from a third party without a title to the car, cautions the OSP. If the seller is unable to provide a title to the vehicle, there is a very good chance the seller is not authorized to make the sale at all.
Especially when it's a 1958 red over white Plymouth Fury.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's that. Police have arrested a man they say is responsible for shooting another driver in a road rage case.
Oh, man.
This happened at Vista Ridge Tunnel, of all places.
Did you see that traffic? Well, of course you didn't. That traffic?
Yeah, well, I saw pictures.
I mean, it was madness. I mean, it was all the way that it's like that, you know, it's like when you squeeze a balloon and it bulges out somewhere else, or you close off an artery. And
it was all the way back to Cornelius Pass Road.
Jesus. I was trying to get through downtown on, what is it, Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get through downtown, and I'm driving along, and I'm like, wait a minute, it seems to be gradually slowing. Wait a minute, it's drastically. Wait a minute, it stopped. No! And then suddenly it's like I get the third-person view of myself where I am like 100 cars in front of me and 100 cars behind me and no one's going anywhere. And I had a one-way ticket to nowhere is where I...
Yeah, I was trying to get to the Olive Garden.
It was... They're running out of breadsticks. Faster! I was trying to... Well, we were doing that 48-hour film festival and I was trying to get to a location.
Oh, and that's bad.
Seriously, they're like filming it because, and just a brief note, in film, and it's not like I know a lot about filmmaking, but in filmmaking, there is this phrase, magic hour. Mm-hmm. And magic hour is, it's about an hour at sunrise and an hour at sunset, where if you're doing an outside shoot where the lighting is just perfect. Mm-hmm. And so this shoot had to be like right in, you know, magic hour. And so like, we got to be there at 6:30, we got to get setting up, we got to be filmed, you know, we got to be done filming by 8. You know, and so it's like we had to be there at 6:30, and it's like 6:24, and I'm sitting in that traffic, and it's just going nowhere. And I finally just had to call, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. There's, you know, no traffic. And then I read that some guy got shot. Was he shot on the road itself?
A shot hit the driver of a Jetta. He's a 29-year-old Todd Westby. One of the passengers, 26-year-old Adam Christopher Gonzalez, was taken into custody. Westby's father said his son was shot in the back and underwent surgery. Three suspects believed to have been in the Jeep where the shots came from were taken into custody. So, then a 26-year-old Kim Kershaw was arrested for attempted murder.
Fantastic. Oh, wait, we have a clarification. I do think it's the Priest song, although I guess it's not Priest. I think it might be Fleetwood Mac. Hello, Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, that's Judas Priest. That's sitting there singing their Green Man Alesi with
Green
the
Man
two-point crown.
I think it's originally, like, I think it was originally, of all things, a Fleetwood Mac song that Priest covers, which it sounds insane, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. And then it's...
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Les filled with the Green Man Alesi of the two-prong crown, that was great.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess my thing is, even knowing that it's a lyric, it's like, why... Why is it there?
Wait, that's a lyric?
We don't know where it came from, but that's what it is from.
Yeah, it's from a song, and I didn't recognize it because he says Lucy, and it's the Green Manalishi is a song that I think Peter Green wrote that I think Judas Priest covered at one point.
Oh.
But I have no
idea. It's funnier when it's gibberish.
Well, but it's still gibberish because there's no reason for him to be using it while describing the flavor of a drink. It makes no sense at all, which is what makes it fantastic.
Excellent. Perfect.
Thank you, sir. There you go, Steve. Here's Tim Riley.
A woman woke up to find a stranger in her Beaverton bed. She managed to scare him away before calling 911. It happened at 3:40 in the morning at Canyon Park Apartments when a woman saw a man lying on the floor near her. He's described as in his 20s, about 5'8". Medium build, he's either Hispanic or black. He has short, black, curly hair, wearing a black and white dress shirt with pinstripes and black pants. He had a cell phone hanging from his belt. Did you hear about this? A 10 survived a boat that blew up in the Willamette River. Apparently, the people were enjoying looking at the stars when they were soon seeing stars. Apparently, the boat stopped, and then they tried to get it going again, and then it exploded on the Willamette River. The boat's engine apparently died in the middle of the river, and everybody jumped overboard when the thing blew up. At least three people suffered burns. In all, five people went to the hospital after the incident, so there were 10 people aboard. The boat's a total loss, though. And to make matters worse over the weekends, if traffic isn't bad enough, they have the Providence bike pedal, or is it bridge pedal?
It was the bridge pedal. My wife did that.
More than 20,000 took part. That beats the previous record of 19,000.
Yeah, everywhere I went, I saw people in their bridge pedal, because you get like a, whatever, like a shirt or a jersey or something, I guess, if you finish. And this will make you feel like a loser. A, I felt like a loser that my wife, I mean, I couldn't have done it anyway because I was doing the film festival, but it's like 25 miles or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. And I did that hottest day of the year, right, which is 15 miles, and I felt like I'd just been beaten with a bag of hammers. But my wife did the whole thing, and so I was feeling like a slacker anyway. And then at one point I had to drive through downtown again. I was going my way to work, and I passed some people who had clearly just finished the bridge pedal, and one of them, I swear to God, was no more than like 8 years old. It really was like an 8 or 9 year old kid on his little tiny miniature bicycle with a thing like, I finished the 25-mile bridge pedal, you know? And I get winded walking up the stairs to my office. So it's everywhere you went. And I'll be curious to see, actually, and I'll keep talking about this film festival, but that's because the whole thing had to be filmed over the course of that 2 days. I'll be curious to see if that footage of the bridge pedal, if anybody took advantage of that and put it into their movie, because it was pretty cool, actually, every single bridge, and not just the main ones. I mean, it's not just like the Hawthorne Bridge and the Morrison Bridge. It's like every bridge everywhere, every bridge, every lift, every rise, every overpass, it seemed like they were all closed and the bicycles were doing it. And how many people?
2,000.
It was amazing. 20, yeah, it was, I mean, everywhere you went, it was, the streets were just littered with bicyclists.
So there. More than 100 people a minute were passing through the bridge.
Yeah, it was pretty stunning.
There are reports of minor bumps and bruises, but no serious injuries. Okay, it's hard to believe, but what else there left for Karl Rove to do? Yes, Karl Rove, the architect of President Bush's time in the White House, is leaving at the end of the month to return home to Texas.
I've been talking to Karl for a while about his desire to spend more time with Darby and Andrew. This is a family that's made enormous sacrifices, not only for our beloved state of Texas, but for a country we both love.
Let me understand this. Did he actually just say that Karl Rove is leaving to spend more time with his family?
Yeah.
Did he not get the memo about that? That's like saying in a world now. You don't do that. You find a different way to phrase it. You have time to come up with some different excuse.
And why is it that all these people have a Texas residency? They're not really Texans.
Well, Karl Rove is like the least Texas person I can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. He looks like he just came out of a Keebler factory. So I don't understand exactly why they would go to that as the excuse. And secondly, it's not too soon to start asking this. Do we know the real reason? Because don't you just assume that he's running for cover because they're about to find something?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah.
I mean, and we'll have Lisa Goddard at the bottom of the hour about this, but this is a big story. This is big news. I mean, Karl Rove is the Steve Jobs of that administration.
Yeah.
I hate to make that comparison, but I mean, it really is true.
And the question was asked, everything he did, how can people be so stupid to believe it? Because they are.
Yeah, because
they're stupider than you can imagine, and he exploited it. If this would have happened, if the same things happened in any other country besides America, there would be rioting in the street. Not here.
No.
Give me the clicker. What's on ESPN?
There's meat-flavored Doritos. That's exactly. And I'm, you know.
Gas prices, $4 a gallon, not a problem.
And I'm right there. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be any better than I am. Just me sitting on the couch with the TiVo, flipping right by the happenings of my own country so I can get to a rerun of Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a couple of things that lead to my... A, I wonder what they were about to find. B, I wonder if it was voluntary or if it was like a... You know, because you always hear, like, those stories about Nixon where deep in the depths of Watergate... You know, there's that thing that Ed Harris says in the movie Nixon where he said, Richard Nixon is the darkness reaching out from the darkness. And in the end, it always comes down to you or him. And so, is that a thing where Rove left to save himself? Or is it a thing where, they, you know, even the closest guy to Bush eventually gets sacrificed to save, to save the presidency?
We'll soon find out, or will we? The president has known Karl Rove for quite some time.
We've been friends for a long time. And we're still going to be friends. I would call Karl Rove a dear friend.
I wonder if this is a Dick Morris thing. Because Dick Morris, remember, when he got booted out of the Clinton White House for... Wasn't he paying a bunch of hookers with personal checks or something? When he got kicked out of the Clinton White House for that, he continued... You know, Woodward has extensively chronicled this, that Dick Morris continued to be a consultant and an advisor to Bill Clinton. He was just very off the record about it. And then at some point, the Clintons did something to him, and he just turned like a rabid dog. Because his whole raison d'etre is just now to take Hillary apart. But Clinton, for the longest time, still had Dick Morris in everything but name as his advisor.
Karl Rove said he enjoyed his time at the White House.
I'm grateful for the opportunity you gave me to serve our nation and you. I'm grateful for being able to work with the extraordinary men and women that you've drawn into this administration. And I'm grateful to have been a witness to history.
You know, it's so strange to hear him talk. Yeah. Because, you know, he normally is just a shadowy, bloated, pink, pustulant figure lurking behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Rove says he admires the president.
Through it all, you've remained the same man. Your integrity, character, and decency have remained unchanged and inspiring.
Or so he wrote.
Now, have you seen this clip of Dick Cheney, the Iraq clip?
Which one?
The one that's been, is from 1994.
Oh, I must
have. Oh, it's amazing. I must
have it some point.
Yeah, I'll play it for you here in just a second. I'm going to... Let's see. I'll load this up. Are we done with the Rove thing?
No, we got a few more.
Good. Well, let's continue that, and I'll get this Cheney thing queued up because it's stunning.
Paul Godot of the Wall Street Journal broke the story. He said it's a matter of just being too tired to continue.
It wears on you. I mean, you've got to constantly be on. It's a 24/7 job. It's a 7-day-a-week job. And he's been at this now for 10 years with George Bush, if you go back to the time when they first started plotting the campaign for the White House.
Bush's former chief of staff, Andrew Carr, dismisses those who claim Rove is a crappy Svengali.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are more myths to Karl Rove than reality, but the reality is he is very smart, makes tremendous contributions. He's much broader than the political punditry that he's known for.
Yes, indeed, Rove was very successful.
Carl was also very good at doing his homework, and he was extremely well-read and is extremely well-read. He also had a good way to measure what was happening in America, and that helped to contribute to our efforts to communicate with the American people.
Card said he agrees with Rove in wanting Hillary Clinton to be the Democratic opponent in the presidential election.
Carl understands the nature of politics in this country, and he understands that Hillary Clinton is probably the Democratic nominee, but she would be walking into that general election race with a significant burden that she's carrying because of her previously known biases that have been reflected in policy.
Knowns or unknowns.
Yeah, seriously. This is, let's not forget Karl Rove's enduring contribution to American comedy.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah! Now listen up, suckers, don't get the jitters. But MC Rose says heads off of critters. That's true, it's cruel to see. But he's gonna be about animal cruelty. He's a man, he's a treasure trove. But tell me, what is your name?
I'm MC Rose.
That's right, he can't be beat because he's so white from his head to his feet. But he will rap it when you give him a chance. Look at him move, doing a rapping dance. That's true, he's a dancing resident. He is a sidekick to the president. He's going way above. Tell me, what is your name?
MC Rose.
Let's never play that again. You know, it sounds like he's keeling over from something there at the end. All right, so this is, let me just play this here. Nate Baker showed me this this weekend, and it's just, it's amazing. And it's complete, I mean, it's one of those things that you see, and it seems, I mean, you watch this, and on the one hand, it just seems so logical and obvious and perfect. And then on the other hand, you wonder, it's actually so amazing that you almost expect that nothing will come of this. So this is, I believe, from CNN, and it's from 1994. But I think this was originally broadcast on CNN. No, in fact, here's what a nerd I am. From the font, I'm guessing this is C-SPAN. So I can't tell, but I think from the font, this is C-SPAN. This is Dick Cheney in 1994. And this is about a minute 22, and I'm going to play it all the way in. So stay with it all the way to the end, because he pays it off with just the perfect closing speech. Mm-hmm. This is Dick Cheney in 1994 being asked whether or not America should invade Baghdad. And I think it's because of Bush 1. You know, when Bush 1, you know, because of the Kuwait thing, and Bush 1 stopped short and never went into Baghdad. This is Dick Cheney in 94 being asked about invading Baghdad and getting rid of Saddam and whether it's a good idea.
Do you think that the U.S. or U.N. forces should have moved into Baghdad?
No.
Why not?
Because if we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west.
Drive home, happy time.
In Iraq, the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take over Iraq. The other thing was casualties. Everyone was impressed with the fact that we were able to do our job with as few casualties as we had. But for that,
here comes the money line. By the way, he's already described pieces of Iraq flying off. He's already described if you take down Saddam Hussein, there's no way you can put in another government. He's already described the fact that the Arab forces won't be with us. The use of the word quagmire is really what sells it. But here comes the powerful close.
146 Americans killed in action, and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. And the question for the president, in terms of whether or not we went on to Baghdad and took additional casualties in an effort to get Saddam Hussein, was how many additional dead Americans is Saddam worth? And our judgment was not very many, and I think we got it right.
So there you go. That's Dick Cheney saying that, by the way. So
he sounded a little less ominous back then.
Yeah, he really did. Someone turned the evil to 11 over the years. All right, that's before the last vestiges of his birth heart had been removed. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Mitt Romney is the wealthiest White House contender for either party. He is worth as much as $250 million. The former venture capitalist wealth is ranging by estimates of $190 million to $250 million. It spreads around a dizzying array of investments that includes banks, large investment management firms, foreign-export credit corporations, and real estate. Who knew that Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson was running for president? Well, we have bad news for all his followers. He has given up his his quest to run for president.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oops. My pot's down. Falling my own. Here's Tommy Thompson, who will no longer be running for president.
We absolutely thought we were coming in second. We had no doubt in our minds that we thought the worst we could come up with was third. And it didn't happen that way.
No, it didn't.
No. No.
Once again, Tommy Thompson says he is no longer running for president.
I'm sorry I didn't do better for the people in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't do better for my family. Sorry I didn't do better for my campaign staff.
Yeah, in your face. All right.
Once again, Tommy Thompson is no longer running for president.
Well, I know that my heart is broken because we should probably break here. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. Later on, we have Jim Roop coming up and so forth. You stay there. It's the
crap together.
The Rick Emerson Show. Back after this.
It's great.
Scotty, treat that crap.
It is less doing.
Excellent.
Woo!
Gone Wonderful. And done.
Excellent.
Now, right. If I had to report on that taste, I don't think the average bar guy pulling up to the bar would say, oh, give me this taste, because it was like rank. However, when it's the only thing you have, like a mice, you know,
mice?
Pecking, like a mouse pecking at a little bottle, you know?
A mouse pecking at a ball.
It tastes great.
As we've often seen.
It's less filling. So there you go.
Why is the mouse pecking?
Because he's addicted. He's addicted to whatever's coming out of that little bottle.
Balls.
The mouse loves balls.
Are you the mouse in this story?
I'm just surprised.
Are you the balls?
You know what? I am thankful today I did not hear crickets, so thank you.
Emerson radio program. All right, I can't hold it back any longer. I dig that shirt you're wearing, Sarah.
Why, thank you, Rick
Emerson. That's fantastic.
This is one of my payments for my other job.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I can say that. Is that from Baby Girl Boutique?
It sure is.
Wonderful. It really is nice. I dig that.
Thank you.
503-733-2970. Why, thank you for joining us today. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Still to come later on, Jim Rube will be joining us to talk about the late, great Merv Griffin. We'll also have the top five, Clyde Lewis, and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN Radio correspondent in the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Well, hello. How are you guys?
I am dandy. I'm fantastic. I'm wonderful.
Wow.
I'm not really, but that's okay. I can play through the pain.
You're doing the perception is reality game? Is this
Segway
alert in honor of Karl Rove?
Yes, I am. It is... Well, good reference. I was going to say that I'm doing kind of a little method acting thing. You know, as Henry Rollins once said, I will remember the last time I was refreshed and well-rested, and I will act like that guy. So do me a favor, Lisa, if you can just sort of hang on for about 30 seconds here. You're going to hear a little music. I'm going to refill my coffee cup if you just want to hang tight for a second.
Sure.
All right. There you go. Fantastic. All right. And coffee has a strangely brackish aftertaste to it. I don't know where that's coming from. I think somebody needs to clean. I don't know when the last time these canisters have been cleaned out was, because I know I never clean them. I always assume that Scotty does, because he's kind of OCD in that regard. But now that I think about it, I've never actually seen them clean. So God only knows, it's like counting the rings of a tree. God only knows how many layers of dried coffee need to be expunged off this side. All right, how was your weekend? Fantastic, fulfilling, wonderful?
It was. It was really good. The kind people of Connecticut were great.
Excellent.
It was beautiful.
And you come back to a fantastic story.
How about it?
So Karl Rove, and by the way, let me first note that, I mean, I guess they didn't sort of receive the memo that there's just sort of things you don't say anymore. They actually, in the clip that we have, Bush actually said... in not so many words, that Karl Rove was leaving to spend more time with his family. Which is, I mean, I think he actually says it. I think he said, yes. Karl's going to be leaving to spend more time with Dobby and whatever his kid's name was. His family, his weird, surely bat-like offspring.
Oh, geez.
Well, come on. Oh. I mean, look, you know that's one weird-looking family portrait. Let's all just speak honestly. We know that's true.
I don't know that.
We know that Karl Rove isn't like human in the strictest sense of the word. We're all aware of that. So I got just a million questions about this.
Yes, right. Bring them on. Right.
Is this a leaving or is this a walk before you have to run situation?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think for anyone in this White House, the light bulbs, you know, they're not necessarily bringing in a whole bunch of new light bulbs. They're getting ready for everything to just dim and go out, I think.
Right.
You know, except the new chief of staff, Josh Bolton, is serious. He knows there's some big fights with Congress still coming up. But the folks who have been there the longest, it's pretty easy to see. It's you guys want to make some money, now might be a good time, that kind of thing. I think that he was not forced out. Apparently, Karl Rove has started discussions a year ago talking about whether or not he should leave. And I think there are a lot of forces there. I do think part of it is the fact that he does have the Darth Vader Jr. reputation, I guess, for people who don't like him, and that he could be seen as a negative. But I also think that he has been around since the beginning. He is the one that saw George Bush, baseball team owner, oil man, as a potential political leader when I think almost no one else did. He's the one that helped him become president, made him president in a way.
It's just so strange, though. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand
understand that maybe he has a sort of nefarious reputation, but let's be honest, he's not really alone in that regard in the White House. Dick Cheney. And so I don't understand why Karl Rove, within sight of
the finish line.
I mean, however low Bush's approval ratings are, not like they're going to magically go up now that Karl Rove is gone. It just... I mean, I guess maybe we can't know, but it's...
The advantage of him staying. What is the real advantage? When he can leave right now, and he can get involved most likely behind the scenes for many, many months, he doesn't have to worry about his government email account or his government phone. He can get on the phone, advise as many political candidates running for president as he wants, get involved in as many strategy sessions, little, you know, tit-for-tat stuff that he loves, and not have to worry about any of being on the government payroll. If he wants to be involved in his next presidential election, he has to leave the White House in a way. And if he wants to make some money, he's got to write a book before this president leaves office. So it makes a lot of sense for him personally. And he may have looked at it and said, well, what does this White House have to gain from me staying? Apparently, George Bush agrees with him, not much, and it's fine with the president for him to go.
Do you suppose, is this going to be kind of like a Dick Morris sort of a thing? Because, you know, Morris got booted out of the White House after that that hooker scandal, but
right.
remained, until he sort of inexplicably turned on the Clintons a few years later, remained a very close and influential but unofficial consultant to Bill Clinton.
That is what to watch for. And I don't know, this White House is really a very tight drum when it comes to leaks, for the most part, unless there's leaks potentially that they want out there. No comment on that whole other story. But I think that we may not know, and I would be surprised if there's no contact between Karl Rove and this president or this White House. That just doesn't seem likely. But we don't know how much contact there will be or how involved Rove will suddenly, if he'll suddenly turn to 08, not just presidential but congressional. He has a freakish West Wing mind for facts about congressional races. All that stuff I could see him wanting to just dig his hands into very soon. So I don't know how involved he'll be in this White House. I don't know how involved he'll want to be, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of phone calls.
Fair to say that he changed the way that political campaigns are run forever?
I don't know if that's fair to say. I think he was very good at the way that they were being run. I mean, I think if you really want to point to, I'm not sure he was a revolutionary in the way that campaigns were run. I think he was very good at the same thing that, say, the Clintons were very good at, or even going back to Lee Atwater for the Republicans. I think Karl Rove was very good at those same types of really hard-nosed, tough, you know, play it as aggressive as you can kind of strategies, but I don't think he invented it.
So we've got a couple other things here. So there was, first, Tim and I were talking about this. Really, who knew that Tommy Thompson was even running for president?
Oh, jeez, come on.
No,
really?
Seriously. I mean, I kind of... Look, let's be honest. It's not that I didn't know who he was,
right.
But it's that I just kind of forgot he existed. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's members of your family that, like, you're aware that they live somewhere, but, you, like, you don't ever really think about them, and then you see them at a family reunion, and it's like, so, you know, how are you? Well, I had this giant cyst removed from my foot, and you're kind of going, you know, that's great. And then in the back of your mind, you're going, I forgot she even existed until 5 minutes ago.
I feel like he's kind of got this Walter Matthau type appearance to him, and I actually ran into him in a Target maybe a year, it must have been 2 years ago or more, when he was Secretary for Health, I don't remember how I got him to talk about this, but at some point, he just looked like he'd had a tough day, and I'd had a rough day. We were both in line at customer service, waiting, and he proceeds to tell me after I started talking to him, he's like, I just can't wait to get out of this town. This town is crazy. He starts kind of railing against Washington and the way it works and how disappointed he is. And so then, of course, he announces that he's running for president. So I think probably just as well for him that he's backing out.
We had this hilarious soundbite of him saying that he was announcing to his depressed fan base. He was saying, you know, well, we firmly believe we were going to come in second this whole time. And I mean, really, just I hope for his sake that he didn't really believe that, because just the state of delusion that implies is.
Yeah.
Let's see what else here we have on Saturday. I'm reading that from the prep sheet. On Saturday, former Massachusetts Gov Mitt Romney, who will never be elected to anything. In the White House, won the Iowa Republican.
That out. That's not on the CNN.
No, that's me. Okay. That's my little. I thought my inflection noted the italicized bracketed.
Just clarifying. Yep, indeed.
Bracketed editorial comments. Won the Republican straw poll, and Governor Mike Huckabee, who will also not be elected to anything in the White House, had a surprise second place showing. So there's all these guys who are basically just sort of, You know what these guys are? These guys are the opening act when you go to see the Rolling Stones. You know what I mean? I mean, they're there, and look, let's be honest. You go to see the Rolling Stones, and, like, the Schmuck Sisters are opening for them. And, yeah, there's 50,000 people, and half of them are all boozed up, and everybody's excited because you're going to see Keith Richards. And so, yeah, you give a huge round of applause to these guys. And you play, you know, you clap for all their songs, even the ones you don't really know or care for or like or whatever. And maybe you buy a T-shirt because you're drunk and you've got money to spend and you're in the mood. But you know what? But at the end, no one is there to see the Schmuck Sisters. They're all waiting for the Rolling Stones. And really, when all is said and done, no one really cares about Gravel or Richardson or Romney or Huckabee. They're all just there for Giuliani, possibly Thompson, and Hillary. And that's it.
I mean, did it also say, I don't know, because, you know, I don't see these same sheets necessarily that you see, but it sounds like it did not say on there the fact that Giuliani and McCain were actually not participating in that same poll.
So that's what I mean. It's like this is the if you go to a big rock festival, this is the second stage.
Right. But I do think that we should watch Romney. You know, I think he has a very serious problem not necessarily on the exact positions he changed from and to, but the fact that he changed positions on such major issues as abortion and on gay rights. I think wherever you are on those issues, the fact that he changed position, he's got the Kerry flip-flop problem,
mm-hmm.
and that could kill him in the primary. But other than that, I do think he still is a serious contender. I got to disagree with you on that. I think he could still maybe pull it out. You know, someone up ahead this much, this early, like Giuliani and Clinton, I just don't know. I mean, I don't think that the first seed wins every time.
I think
a lot of times those first seeds fall pretty fast.
I think that Romney's got a lot of money, and he does appear to be very white with hair that doesn't move. And so he's got that going for him with the Bible Belters.
Right, and, you know, Big Love, HBO's got a Mormon TV show.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I say this with... You know, this is just a fact. I say this is in my opinion, this is simply a fact. This is not, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or single
right.
anybody out for malicious reasons. But you know what? Americans, somebody, you know, once said, I forget who it was, that, you know, the Americans, their real prejudice doesn't come out until you're in that ballot booth with the curtain shut.
Mm.
And Americans may say out loud, well, look, I would have no problem with, you know, a, insert, whatever, woman, black man, Jewish candidate for president. They'll say that out loud, and you know what? Many of them may believe that, but there's an equal number who say that out loud. But, man, once you're in that booth with the curtain shut and it's just you and your prejudice, and I think the prejudice wins out sometimes, and I think the Mormon religion has a lot of freaking baggage attacks on that guy.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of baggage. But remember, he was elected governor of Massachusetts. I mean, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
That actually is. That is true. And I guess, you know, and you don't get more Catholic, I suppose, than the,
no,
you know,
you
the
sure
Massachusetts.
Don't. You sure don't. Yeah, you think down the stretch, though, I mean, would you put your money on him versus Giuliani? I mean, these guys are going to start dropping out fast. Huckabee would have dropped out this weekend if he didn't have this. It truly was a surprise to him. He spent about $150,000 on this straw poll compared to millions that Romney spent. So the fact that he came even close is pretty outstanding for him, and he would have been gone otherwise. So we are going to see these guys start to drop out now. But you think it could be, you think Giuliani Romney in the end?
Well, here's
McCain or Giuliani by himself?
We're doing another one of our 9-hour marathon discussions.
Yes.
But I do have just, let me...
Sorry about that, yeah.
No, it's true. I just want to make this one point because Tim Riley was pointing this out from the CBS Radio Portland news desk on Friday.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
He was noting how strange it was that the GOP, for whom the obvious issue is the war on terror and the war in Iraq.
Right.
That's, I mean, clearly... Like, we have become, in my opinion, again, a single-issue society, but where the issue used to be Roe v. Wade, the single-issue society now, I think, revolves around the war on terror and the war in Iraq. And I think that is what people use to determine in their assessment whether you're conservative or liberal. Doesn't matter what... That's why people somehow crazily come to these opinions that Giuliani is some dyed-in-the-wool Republican, even though he has all kinds of positions that are contrary to that. It's because he's so hawkish on the war, therefore
right.
equals conservative. So it's just insane that the GOP candidates who spent all of this, the last few weeks, just pecking each other to death about abortion, which is, I'm not saying that's not a thing people care about, but I'm saying that's not the deciding issue right now. It's just not. The deciding issue is the war, and so Giuliani... What, despite all of his weird liberal positions on other things, he has that 9/11 halo over him that may be enough to blind Republicans to the fact that he's effectively a libertarian or liberal on so many social issues.
I totally agree with you about abortion. I don't think that's going to be the Republican issue.
But they're acting like it is because they're all and they're all using it as the wedge to knock each other out.
They are, because I think the media is so used to covering abortion because it was such a deciding factor for Republicans for so long. But I think there's two factors there. The people who care the most about abortion are so kind of demoralized and unexcited about all of these candidates. I just don't see them really clamoring out and being such a force as they usually are because they're just not happy with anyone. And then I think the other factor is the Supreme Court. The fact is that most pro-life, or I'm supposed to, the CNN manual would have me say anti-abortion activists, those guys feel pretty happy, to be honest, about where the Supreme Court is right now. And it's not a year where they feel like they've got to really push and push and push to get their guy because they got two of them. They're pretty happy.
The whole thing just makes me giddy. It really does.
It makes you giddy.
It does. I just vibrate with excitement just thinking about the whole race.
Wow.
All right.
My goodness.
Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm assuming we will, sure, we'll talk to you in the immediate future. So until then, it is always a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you, Lisa Goddard. All right, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, it was like a four-day conversation. Sorry about that. Why, hello, Tim.
Well, I was just on this website trying to figure out what the Oregon Association of Broadcasters does.
Weren't you asked to participate with something?
I got this note. It's that time again to judge awards in numerous categories. And I don't think they're looking for me anyway because it lists Amy King as the news director of this radio station.
Are these those guys that
play golf and Eugene?
Extort union dues from people? Aren't they the ones who sent us that form a few months ago? Would you like to submit something for an OAB award?
Yeah.
And they have those internet job listings that never get anybody employed?
Probably. Well, fantastic. We could have submitted the Scotty J thing from Friday.
Oh, that we should have, for... really. Like father, like son. We should... What? We should totally give that to Lacey Turner. Yeah. Every time I almost say Lacey Peterson.
To put it in our public inspection file.
No, we should totally give the Scotty J files to Lacey Turner and have her create some sort of don't drink PSA.
Oh, that'd be great.
Some sort of a, you know, it's like they would do that thing in school where they would show you like somebody's brainwaves after one drink and then somebody's brainwaves after 10 drinks. This could be like your speech patterns at one drink, your speech patterns at 5 drinks. Your speech patterns at the end of the day.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucy of the 2-prong crown, that was great.
You know what I mean? You put that on a Sunday morning, bam, it's broadcasting gold. That gets us a Crystal Award.
Well, is that what they give out?
No, the Crystal Award's in the NAB, I think.
Okay.
This is the OAB. They give you like a free bag of nuts.
Let's say it's time to judge awards.
So are you a judge?
Well, I haven't called this back, but I don't even think they're looking. It says the news director here is Amy King, and the program director is Kerry Rolfe,
Let's turn back the hands of time. Kerry Rolfe was, I think, 3 PDs ago.
And the general sales manager is Teresa Link.
No, that's wrong.
Any of these names sound familiar?
No, that's wrong.
Business manager, Kerry Adams.
Kerry Adams is still here.
All right, so there's one.
Teresa Link is the, never mind, I'm not even going to say it.
COO is Joel Hollander.
No, that's wrong, too.
So they probably don't even want me anyway. They probably want one of these other people.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I don't even... Who's Amy... Do I even know who Amy King is? Should I know?
It says news director.
Well, that's clearly not true.
No.
Is that someone that we know?
Amy King.
No.
But I don't get around that much.
Well, you should just write back and agree to be a judge. Say that you can be bought. Just completely, like, let it be known that graft is totally acceptable in your world. Hey, if you get to be a judge at the OAB Awards, so you get
where
to judge these...
held?
Well, that was my question. Do you have to, like, well, for, well, okay.
Well, I'm looking for information on the website, but it isn't on there.
I got to pull up a chair because this is really exciting me because I'm retarded.
If somebody's listening for the OAB, please tell us where these awards are.
No one's
held.
Listening for the OAB.
Yeah, no, that's why they told me.
I don't think automation systems are eligible to join.
Oh.
If you're,
what are the benefits? Let me get the benefits here.
Of what?
Being a member of the OAB.
So you can brag to the other two members?
Long-distance phone rate, savings up to 50% or more. A directory of a complete listing of all AOB member stations.
Well, what do you mean they're giving you free complimentary long distance or half price?
50% off.
What are they? Is that like a signing bonus?
I guess so.
Yeah, like a gift basket too? Okay, so my question is, if you agree to be a judge for the OAB, and for people who don't know, the OAB, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, is a bunch of old guys who sit in a room trying to swindle each other on multi-level marketing schemes.
You want to buy the sandwich shop in Eugene?
Do you want to go in on a video rental store in Medford?
Then there's something else here called Park. The Portland Area Radio Council. I don't know what they do.
Okay, no, those guys are cool. I've met some of the people from Park.
There's Wino Radio.
No, they actually exist. I've met people from them, from there.
Do they have an award show?
You know, I don't know. But the okay, so the OAB, though,
yeah,
is they asked us, we got this entry form a while back where it's like, submit like your best newscast, submit your best news story, submit your best public affairs story, and then they give out awards. My question is, and we, of course, didn't submit anything because who cares, but if they asked you to be a judge, do you...
I don't even know if they want me specifically.
Sure they do. Do they... Just say you're Amy King. Do they say that you're one of the, like, 9 program directors who's been here over the last 5 years? How would they even know? If you agree to be a judge, do they send you the entries to judge, or do you have to go listen to them in person? And if you go listen to them in person, do they pay for all that? Like, will they put you up at some place in glorious wherever this is?
Maybe I get Scotty to call up and ask about this. I'll give Scotty this little slip of yellow paper. Maybe
give him a few drinks first.
Okay.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Lashville, the Green Man Lucian.
OAB. I would be curious to know, because if you are one of the judges and they will send you the entries, then you can just bring them here. We can listen to them. That would be fantastic.
Now I'll give this to Scotty to find out more.
Yeah. Well, there's a big pile of things for Scotty to take care of today. Speaking of which, I got that. Well, I didn't want to say, but I got that. There's yet another interview we're trying to hook up.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a big one.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Same the one girl? That Tim was talking about this morning?
What?
The one that Tim was talking about this morning.
Oh, that? No, I haven't even talked about that.
Oh, that's another one.
Hey, sir, do you know if Scotty's busy? Can I summon him in?
I don't know if he is.
Well, let's find out.
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Is this from Tim? Tim, did you find this or did Sarah find this?
I found that.
Right. Tim found it and then he ran because he knew how excited I'd be.
I mean, look.
I found that at Washington Square.
Okay, and I have to say I wondered for a while what was making the studio smell so aggressively. Fragrant. Aggressively citrus.
It smells like Hollywood in here.
Yes, it does. Smells like stardom and broken dreams. We have here this thing. Ugh. I open it up,
pretty good, though.
Stings my eyes. This is a black and white, we used to call these mimeographs, a black and white crudely Xeroxed flyer. Scotty, guess who's going to be appearing at 12 p.m. at the Macy's at Washington Square in the cosmetics department this Friday, August 17th?
Calvin Klein.
Close. No. Female. Go.
Female.
Beyonce.
No.
Beyonce. Somebody that smells?
Yes, it's somebody that smells, Scotty.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Okay, you don't know how to do this. No one knows how to play 20 questions.
That's not the smell they want.
Okay, no. Come on. The smell of pulling grip and death.
Okay, Zsa Zsa Gabor. I can play this. Is it a?
What would Zsa Zsa Gabor smell like, do you suppose?
Griffin must know.
Okay, well. Why don't you ask him?
Ava, Zsa Zsa. Sarah Jessica Parker. We'll be making
I'd never get that in 1 billion years.
We'll be making a personal appearance this Friday, August 17th, 12 p.m., Macy's, Washington Square, to unveil her new fragrance, Covet. And, Scotty, if you're among the first in line, she will sign your bottle of Covet. I mean, so, I'm not a big Sarah Jessica Parker fan, but Sarah about leapt out of her skin when she saw this today.
And it's right in the middle of the show. Couldn't we do a remote?
No. Yeah. No, what? No.
I think
we're not doing a remote from a cosmetics counter. Stop it.
I think chicks are more Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, no, that's true.
Fans.
I'm just saying.
No, but she's.
I mean, and
she's Carrie Bradshaw.
The best thing is how they've taken this really badly Xeroxed black and white flyer and they've tried to make it fancy by dousing it in her perfume.
But the commercial is kind of freaky.
Well, hey, so now there is like a little contact number.
She's an old flame of Robert Downey Jr.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was on his biography last night.
You know, her face is so weird looking, though. It really is like you grabbed her hair and her chin and just pulled. You know what she looks like? Here's what Sarah Jessica Parker looks like.
You want to pull her hair and her chin at the same time?
No, I'm saying. Oh. You know in Beetlejuice, there's that sequence where Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, they grab the back of their head and they grab their lower jaw and they pull and their hands get all oval and
pointy.
That's what it looks like. She's about mid-pull. That's what her face looks like to me. You know, sort of like a really oblong Marilyn Manson with no makeup.
I would just love to talk to her to see, you know, what the status is on the Sex and the City movie, because they're saying they're doing it, but they're
also
much older
now. I know they just signed, what's his name, do it? They just signed Peter
Big.
Noth or Chris Noth or whatever his name is, that guy?
Big.
They just signed, why do I even know that?
Well, we must speak with her then.
So,
that's all there is to
so
it.
Is there actual perfume on this?
Yes, there is, Scotty. I will give you this stuff.
Not bad.
Yeah, be sure you rub that all over yourself. All right.
That is Scotty. Covet
by Sarah Jessica Parker.
Could you call this person and find out more particulars about this? If I have to attend somewhere, can they send me these entries? And why did they call me?
Okay. Oh, is that the OAB thing?
Yeah.
I thought you were asking about the Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, those are two projects.
Can I attend, or will they send me Ms. Parker's signature?
That would be great.
So there you go. You can find him. And by the way, are we still a go for Peter Chris this week?
Yes.
All right. Fantastic.
He'll be on Thursday.
It's a great week because we got Richard Cheese tomorrow. We got the Peter Chris thing happening Thursday. We're giving away the Kiss DVDs every day, all week, and then we're giving away more online to the Glorious Bastards. Next week, we got a whole other giveaway coming up that I can't even talk about right now. It's all very exciting. And maybe Sarah Jessica Parker, Scotty.
Very cool.
All right, fantastic. How are you feeling today? How long did it take the hangover to burn off from you, Scotty?
Well, Saturday, I kind of felt a little bit loopy. But I feel more loopy today. It's almost like it's a delayed hangover with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just tired. I don't know.
Yes.
But I slept from when I got home till Saturday morning, and I was able to function.
So we have this. Rick, I am somebody listening online. They're listening just now to the podcast of Friday's show, which, when did those go up? Just recently, a couple hours ago?
Yes.
Rick, I am catching up on the missing hours of Friday's show, and I would just like to ask that you have Kristen Bowie handle the podcast from this point on so that Scotty can be constantly drunk every week, all week, for the rest of the show. And then he says that they are working in your goddamn several times a day where he lives. They are they're using that in their daily conversation. So, you know, at the end of yesterday or Friday's program, you were a big fan of the idea of drinking every Friday in the studio.
Yeah.
And I also want to know.
I think that's a great promotion.
I don't like it.
It's a fantastic idea.
It's the day after that's not much fun.
Yes. All right.
But we're not on weekends, Scotty. You don't have to worry about
that. That's what I'm saying. If we do it on a Friday, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't negatively impact your performance, though.
See, we can try different people.
I put it that way. Who else could we possibly get to come in and do it?
We can try Sarah.
Well, Sarah can't do it.
We can get a new board op.
Sarah's legally constrained.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
We can have a board op.
I don't trust anybody else. Nice try, though.
All right.
Thank you, Scotty.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Scotty.
Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I got a question for Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay. She's not here yet.
Yes, go ahead.
Why the long face?
Oh, I didn't know there would be. I didn't know there'd be jokes, sir. No one told me there would be jokes. Thank you. To me, she's always what's her name from Ed Wood. So that's kind of why I like. I like to meet her because she played Ed Wood's wife, whatever her name was.
I remember from the First Wives Club.
Oh, the First Wives Club. I forgot all about that
movie. I love that movie.
All right. I got all of this stuff to do. Let's do a couple more. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got Jim Roop coming up. Top five is Kiss giveaway. All of this other stuff. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a close-up laser inspection by Endeavour's astronauts reveal a 3.5-inch-long gouge is penetrating all the way through the shielding on the space shuttle body. Well, it looks like NASA's got their work cut out for them. A chunk of insulation foam smacked the shuttle at liftoff last week, and it's an unbelievably unlucky ricochet off the fuel tank, and it carved out a gouge. The unevenly shaped gouge straddles the two side-by-side thermal panels in the corner. Nobody cares about this, do they? So we're all going to be watching to make sure that these people come back alive, basically, is what it comes down to.
Well, that's totally it. That's the only...
I mean, Apollo 13 type of thing.
And it is sort of sad but true that is actually the only thing that gets my attention anymore in terms of the shuttle launching is whether or not large pieces are going to be falling off of it.
So right now they're getting some duct tape together to give us a show.
We have this. Rick, I can't believe how slurred Scotty became after a few glasses of fortified wine. Oh, that's the other. We come back after this. We'll do a few more. We'll break. We'll come back. We should actually bring out the wine that's still in the fridge and see exactly how much was consumed. Because I don't even know. At the end of the show, it was just a whole lot of like a...
We have all the bottles still in there, right?
Oh, yeah. No, because at the end of Friday's show...
And I don't think any board op would want to drink any of that.
No, although, can I just tell you this? That entire box of Franzia wine is still here. It didn't even get opened. So I invited one of the board up to take that home, but he passed on that chance.
Oh, I'm having a ladies' night tonight.
Really?
Yeah. What kind? It's kind of the pink kind, though, isn't it?
No, well, it looks blushy. But at the end of Friday's show, it was all about just pouring Scotty into the cab, getting him home, and then for me, it was about cleaning out, you know, just getting the studio clean, because I'm kind of anal retentive about that anyway. But, I mean, especially on Friday where the whole place was just beginning to reek of cheap booze and just getting it all put into the fridge. And then there were, like, Lunchable bits everywhere, and it was just like a disaster waiting to happen. Anyway, this email says, Rick, I can't believe how slurred Scotty became after a few glasses of fortified wine. As a hard drinker, here you go, Scotty. I would like to challenge Scotty J to a malt liquor drinking contest. It begins. I prefer Steel Reserve, but I will work with Old English or any other fine beer. I don't drink hard liquor, but I can space the pounders with shots of tequila, mano a mano. Seriously, I think Scotty needs to think about moderating his drinking. I mean, goddamn. We could do the contest with Coors Light, but I'd spend too much time in the bathroom. I do have and he thought this out. I do have vacation coming in late September, early October. Just don't let my boss know. I can and will drink Scotty under the table, even with a fine red wine. And then he says, by the way, I just got Ronnie James Dio, the Beast of Dio, for $6.99 at CD Game Exchange. Thank you, Steve. So there you go. But the challenges continue to pour in. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Do a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Monday, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
He's truly one of the smartest Hollywood businessmen ever, and he knew enough not to put himself in the limelight too much until people got tired of him, because it never happened. Merv Griffin has passed away at the age of 32. He began his career as a $100-a-week San Francisco radio singer. And then, he was on the Merv Griffin Show. There were several Merv Griffin shows on all the way through the 80s, as a matter of fact, till he quit. And, in 1948, he was hired to join the band in Los Angeles at the Coconut Group for $150 a week. In 1954, he went to New York, where he appeared as a summer replacement musical show on CBS TV, the revival of Finian's Rainbow. And then he substituted for Jack Parr on The Tonight Show, but he didn't get the big job when Parr walked out. It was Johnny Carson who got it that time. But in 1965, Westinghouse, which used to own a whole bunch of radio stations at one time and TV stations, also in their production unit, and he did the Merv Griffin Show in syndication for them for the longest time. And then he started Jeopardy in 1964. It became a huge moneymaker for him. He later sold out on that and made like $250 million.
Now, did he create Wheel of Fortune, too?
Yeah, he did.
You know, that right there is a testament to the genius of Merv Griffin. Because, as I've always noted, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who watch Wheel of Fortune, and there are people who watch Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is the dichotomy by which you can judge. It's almost like a red state, blue state thing. But the fact is that he saw both ends of the spectrum and created something for each end.
And the most memorable thing of all, Jeopardy. He realized the show needed some music to fill the time while contestants were puzzling over a question. He sat down on the piano.
He didn't write that.
He plunked out a few notes. And then within the half hour he had it. As a matter of fact, he's made millions on that theme. $70 to $80 million alone on that Jeopardy theme.
Are you kidding me?
No.
$70 to $80 million
on the Jeopardy theme alone.
Okay, A, that's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I never would have put it at that. And B, although we all know it is the Jeopardy theme now, I thought that it was like a previously existing piece of music that was popularized by Jeopardy.
No, he wrote that. And the royalties made him $70 to $80 million alone on that.
God bless you, Merv Griffin. That is so great. Don't you love that? That's like Mildred and Patty Hill, the authors of Happy Birthday. Sat down, wrote some crap in like 5 minutes, and it's generated more money than God.
And on Larry King's show a few years ago, he made sure his politics was not known on his talk show.
Republicans would write to me and say, damn Democrat, the Democrats say, oh, you are just a Republican. Nobody ever knew my politics. I thought it would intimidate the guests if they knew my politics, so everybody became my best friend.
How fantastic.
After,
I love that guy.
23 years of doing his talk show, he's ready to move on to other interests.
Yeah, but then I started buying in hotels, which were my second love. You know, it's like a talk show with beds.
Yep. It was in 1989, that's when Baron Hilton gave him a call and said, Merv, you want to buy the Beverly Hilton? Couldn't believe it. So he bought the slightly used hotel, which was kind of a mess at that time, for $100.2 million, completely refurbished it, and he spent $25 million on that. Then he eventually sold it to Donald Trump for $240 million.
That is fantastic.
Joan Rivers said Merv Griffin was a different kind of person than talk show legend Johnny Carson.
Oh, of course she did.
He was not
as good a straight man as John at all. But he was much dearer and funnier and sweeter. And so there were very different kind of shows. Uh-huh. And his show was lovely. You always felt it was more of a family.
Boy, you know, she's, you know...
It sounds like she just had a shot of Botox in her mouth.
You know, can I... here's the thing about Joan Rivers is you, and we might, sir, we might as well roll because we got Roop here, and he's actually about Merv Griffin. So we'll, okay, yeah.
Roop is all about Merv Griffin.
He really, you're listening to KCB Portland. We'll do that, and we'll do a few others. We'll just kind of take this late, and we'll break here in a while. But you know that between now and the time she dies, you know that, like, Carson's death was a starting gun for Joan Rivers, yeah. And she is just going to put the boot in on that guy every chance she gets until she finally kicks it. Until the Reaper comes for her, every single day for Joan Rivers now is a chance just to put a shiv right into the back of Carson.
Well, plus her husband committed suicide. That could have been part of it, too.
Well, that's true. She was never really she wasn't a happy person to begin with, but yeah.
No. What does Charo think about this? We're all curious. She owes Merv Griffin a debt of gratitude.
I own seen a lot. Merv Griffin makes so many favors to so many performers and entertainers, and he liked me, and it was a great thing for show business.
Okay, hold on.
It sounds like Scotty J.
I was just going to say, by the way.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Lesfield, the Green Man Lucy of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
I was just going to say that Cheryl thing, for a minute there, I didn't, like, the first third, I didn't even think she was speaking English. And it's like it became English in the middle third, but at the end it became gibberish again. Can you play that once more? Because I don't even know what she's saying at the beginning.
All right. Here's Charo.
I own seen a lot. Merv Griffin makes so many favors to so many performers and entertainers, and he liked me, and it was a great thing for show business.
See, she sort of loses me again at the end.
I have another one.
It's like my brain sort of catches up right as she said, he liked me, and then at the end it all kind of just goes back to gibberish.
Charo said Merv Griffin was one of her best friends in Hollywood.
He's one of a kind, a great musician, a great composer, a great entertainer, and one of my best friends in Hollywood. I am sad because he's supposed to live longer and progressing and continue bringing new ideas. I was almost like a genius.
You see what I mean? It's like you could, it's like a train that you're running alongside trying to keep up with, and you can keep up with the train, and at a certain point you just start to lag behind and the train leaves you in the dust. All right, well, whatever. Well, let's just stay inside the Snuffwatch, and let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, our good friend James Roop joining us now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Howdy. I'm well. How are you?
I am dandy, brother man.
Good.
So we are, as we're talking about, of course, the late, great Merv Griffin.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just learned this about 5 seconds ago. I had no idea that he actually wrote the Jeopardy theme.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
See, but I didn't know that. I mean, I knew who created Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and all that. I thought it was a previously existing piece of music which was then made popular or, you know, made famous via the show.
Nope. He wrote that in about 15 minutes.
Do you know, did you hear the estimate on how much he made on that?
I have no idea.
$70 to $80 million.
Damn.
$80 million on some crap that he wrote that's 25 seconds long that he wrote in like 5 minutes at the piano. That, my friend, is America.
Absolutely.
Right there. I mean, really, it doesn't bother me at all. I don't begrudge him a cent of that. How many people really can use, I mean, I would say if you were going to canvas Americans and you were going to put it in the top 10 most known melodies among every single American, that's right there. It's there with Happy Birthday.
Yep.
So God bless that guy. I mean, how many, we were saying he's sort of like the Aaron Spelling of the game show world, especially because he just created, I mean, how many shows, is there even a count on how many things he created?
Well, the two most popular we know, he's also involved in that, psychic on USA Network, whatever her name is, Trina Williams or something like that. He has another one in the works called, Merv Griffin's Crosswords. He's been involved in so many.
I mean, he's one of those guys that found, you know, what he was good at right away, and nailed it. One show after the other, and just success after success. And you'll get those guys occasionally again. Like Aaron Spelling was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
In the '80s, Stephen J. Cannell was one of those guys.
Yep, yep.
It's like everything that guy wrote just turned to gold. And Merv Griffin probably had, I would say, the longest sort of golden touch of any of those guys. I mean,
yeah, you're probably
decades.
Right. He was just real good at being himself, and I think that played well for the era that 20-year show ran. I mean, it ran through the civil rights movement. Both Kennedy brothers were on the show. Everybody from Muhammad Ali to Mr. T. I mean, he happened to be in the right place at the right time and had the faculties to make it work.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, he was what, 82? Was it cancer? Is that what killed him?
Prostate cancer.
Yeah, so, you know, well, cancer kind of comes for all of us eventually.
Well, he wouldn't stop smoking. You know, he says, you know, he smoked till the end. He ate stuff he wasn't supposed to. He hated exercise, although he said he would exercise his brain for an hour every day. He was a crossword puzzle fanatic. You know.
All right. By the way, while you're here, we're talking about the Merv Griffin thing, but just because life is for the living, Jim Roop, you remember you were here on Friday. You were with us when we had when Scotty J was in Biden.
Oh, yeah.
So would you like to hear how some of that turned out?
Please.
All right. Let me see if I've got let me make sure that, because one of these is actually the segment where you were joining us. So let me make sure that I've got something past that. This may be a false start. Hold on a second.
What goes wrong? It's him. We blame Scotty.
The Thunderdog is consists of both of them.
Okay. So this, by the way, let me just say this. The Thunderdog, which is the drink that you created sort of on the fly.
Well,
that's the one that really, the Thunderdog, and then
Sarah
escalated it. Sarah then, the Thunderdog, which was Thunderbird and Mad Dog 2020,
right. That
went well, and then Sarah escalated that by adding Boone's Farm apple wine.
What was, like, this tropical flavor? It's like this blue, like, tropical Boone's Farm.
Which then became the Tropical Thunderdog, and that's the one that he really latched onto. That became his favorite drink. So let me just play a little bit of, I'll play some of these. We're going to be, you know, I'm going to milk these as hard as I can for a day or two. This may or may not be when you were listening, but let's we start this by summoning him into the studio.
It's him we blame, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
No matter what goes wrong, it's him we blame.
I didn't write
it. I don't get it.
Nah, me either. How are you doing?
Fortunate.
Yeah.
Doing great, Rick.
Really, is that?
No.
Which of these drinks do you like the best of ours? Is it the Thunderdog? Is that the one that
you enjoyed
the most?
It was okay. I like Thunderbird, and I like the MD 2020 because it's kind of got an orangish tang.
Yeah. But you didn't like the Thunderdog is consists of both.
Thunderdog
of
is.
You like the Thunderdog though. Of all the glasses you have had, that's the one you enjoyed the most.
I don't know. I mean, and I'll try it one more time myself.
Try each of those one more time.
Yeah, seriously. Which song do you want to accompany that? Sarah, do you want to come pour something?
Yes.
All right, Scotty. Now,
No. That doesn't even look like the last one you.
No, it is. It's
me,
the same
Sarah.
Thing.
It's
now,
the same thing, Scotty.
Now, Scotty,
it's three quarters full instead of half full, and it's like
it all depends on your perspective.
Right. Really deep orange color instead of like light orange color. Something's wrong.
I watched report. It's more.
There's
or less
nothing
the same.
Wrong, Scotty. Nothing wrong at all.
It's fine.
There's something wrong about this whole bit.
No.
Okay, so that's him getting ready to drink it. So now let us now skip ahead. Let's see here. This is later in the day. I think this is second to last. Let's see. This is the second to last segment that I've got here. This is later. It's about an hour later, I think, is when this happens.
Can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Here, Scotty.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our PA, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great, Rick. I love you.
Do you want another Tropical Thunderdog, Scotty?
Excellent.
Did you call me?
No, yes, I did just now.
I thought he came over when you were talking. He came over.
Everybody stop. These are great headphones. I have the cheapest headphones in the world.
Yes.
And these are awesome. It's like I hear myself in the third dimension.
Sounds
great.
All right, then. How would you rank the drinks that you've been having so far? Where did you like that last, the Tropical Thunderdog?
I got to tell you. You know what? It looked the most putrid of all. It looked the most disgusting. It was the most Frankenstein, ugly-looking drink I've ever seen in my life. And it was the best one. Sarah, what was it called again?
The Tropical Thunderdog.
Oh, it was Tropical Thunderdog. That one has some taste.
Excellent. All right.
And vividity.
Please just spell vividity.
And then define it.
Yes, seriously. All right,
please,
so there's that. And then I will... isn't that gold? And you helped to contribute to that, Jim Roop. God bless you. Your creation of the Thunderdog. I might as well close this out. Let me play you the final cut. By the time you listen to us tomorrow, I might actually have one more, because at the end of the show, it was all open vowel sounds and drunkenly screaming Night Ranger lyrics. This is the final cut that we have here of Scotty on Friday.
Let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, this is when this is Scotty's in the studio along with a guest of ours, Aaron the Geek is in the studio. So that's the other voice you hear is Aaron the Geek.
Like you did by the way.
Get her, Scotty. What? Aaron Geek in the City of Duran. Hi. Hi, Aaron. How's it going?
Hi, Aaron.
Scotty's wearing his headphones on his ears.
Like on the sides of his head.
Scotty, those earphones have to be over your ears to work.
No, because it's too loud. Too loud, man.
You've got a volume.
Too loud.
You've got to twist your knob.
No, I don't even know where my knob is.
Next to Naboo.
Fantastic. Were you just telling Sarah to shut up about something in the break?
He was yelling at me.
Why were you telling Sarah to shut up?
I thought she should, like, listen to me.
Does she listen to you?
Never.
Just like all the other women.
Like all the other.
So that's so there you go. So there's a little let's see. I think it ends real strong here. Was that English? Wait, hold on.
Green Man Lucio the
there.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucio of the two-prong crown, that was great.
What was that? Was that English?
The two-prong what?
The cheese standard.
Who would you like to mix something for you? Scotty.
Sarah.
Sarah, would you like to mix something? You
want
to
make you another Tropical Thunder Dog?
Oh, that was a good one.
And then we'll pick the song that you want to drink to.
Oh,
Scotty has consumed another Lunchable. How is that Lunchable? You still feel that they're flawless?
It was damn great ham.
So there you go, Jim. I'd like to think I brought a little sunshine into your day. Hey, well, while you're here, Jim, let's just wrap this up the best way. Let's, Scotty, if you can join us in the studio, please.
Oh, he's there.
Oh, no, we'll bring him in.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Now joined in the studio by Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Hello, Scotty.
Howdy.
Hi, Jim. Say hello to Scott.
Hey, Jim.
All right, Scotty.
Hey, thanks for introducing that drink to me.
Hey, man. Anything I can do to help.
You're a real team player, Jim.
That's right.
Okay, so now, Scotty, we're, of course, I mean this sincerely, we're not going to ask you to drink anything, obviously, because it's that worked out bad for you on Fridays. We're going to give your body a few days rest. But here, what I am going to do is this. We are going to take out each bottle, and we're going to see, because they haven't been touched since Friday. The wine, as soon as Friday's show was over, the wine went back in the fridge. We're going to, and it hasn't been touched, we're now going to bring them out and see how much was consumed on Friday's show.
Excellent. But weren't the other guys drinking, too?
No.
Yeah, they
no,
were.
No.
Nobody
it
else.
Was really
you
just
thought
you.
That you thought that other people were drinking, but
the
it was
other guys
you.
Only you saw.
Yeah, totally. Right. They didn't have any to drink
like
at
who?
All.
Like who? Who are you? Like what guys?
Like Chris or
no.
Dennis?
No, well, Chris drove. Dennis had to go out, and Aaron had to do the 48-hour film festival, so he didn't drink at all. No one drank but you, actually. That really is just you. So we're going to take each bottle out. At the end of the day, I might take a photograph of this and post it up. So I will not ask you to drink, Scotty, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to take each bottle out. We'll look at the contents, how many are gone, and I'm going to ask you to give each bottle of wine just a little sniff. And we'll gauge your reaction. And you don't have to drink any, but just I want you to take a little sniff of each type of wine, and we'll gauge your reaction to it, okay?
All right.
Because Sarah was, Sarah really manned up and did that with the night train on Friday. All right, hold on. Let me go over to the fridge here. All right, I'm just going to start with at the beginning. We'll start with our good friend Night Train. All right, so, Sarah, I'll let you be the judge of how much is gone from each. This is the bottle of Night Train.
Am I?
How much is gone, would you say?
I would say a little less than half.
I'm saying about 60% of that is gone.
Oh.
So that's...
You think... Oh, I guess that does taper up toward the end. I'd say about 50%.
Yeah. So about half that bottle of Night Train gone. This is all in a three-hour period, incidentally.
Oh, you're right with 60 because I was gauging what was left as opposed to was gone. Yeah,
I'd say
60%.
More than half gone, yeah. Yeah, this is all in a two-and-a-half-hour period. Okay, Scotty, give this Night Train a sniff. Smell the Night Train.
Rancid. That is really bad.
The best, it's been chilled.
It's like
it hasn't
rotten,
gone,
rotten
It
wine.
Hasn't gone bad at all. That was chilled the minute you finished drinking it. All right. There's your Night Train.
Dump it.
All right. No, we're keeping that around. All right. How about this? All right. Here's the Thunderbird.
Okay.
About a third gone?
Yeah, I'd say a third.
Okay, about a third gone of this,
Scotty. This stuff is gross, too.
Give this Thunderbird a good smell.
Yeah. they smell real similar.
They all smell like death.
Yeah.
They all smell like pain. All right. Let's see. What's next? All right.
Is there even an? Do we even keep the Mad Dog bottle? Didn't you drink it all?
It's almost gone. Here's, you know, we'll give him a little. Here's the Boone's Farm.
That's about a quarter.
Not much gone to that. About a quarter of that gone. Here's the Boone's Farm.
Yeah, that doesn't smell so bad. It smells tropical.
Almost no alcohol in that, actually.
It smells tropical.
Smells like a vacation.
It does.
And finally, here's the Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, my God.
Geez. That's 80% gone.
It's almost all gone.
I felt like I felt and talked like I did.
There's,
I
mean, like one glass left, maybe.
That's enough to make anybody stutter.
All right, here's the one glass of the Mad Dog.
That's not so bad. Orangey.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it was I think it went Night Train, Thunderdog, Mad Dog.
So I'm going to put these up here.
Or Thunderdog, Thunderbird. Thanks, Jim.
Next to each other. So.
Good Lord.
So, Scotty,
are we going to try and measure how many ounces he actually drank?
Just the sheer fact that I could still communicate near the end is good.
That's 80% of a bottle of Mad Dog. I would say 2/3 the bottle of Night Train and probably 1/3 of the bottle of Thunderbird.
In 3 hours.
In 2.5 hours, actually.
Oh, my dad'd be proud.
Yes.
Yeah. No wonder I was scared.
Come on, son, let's go bowling.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Fan, let me just set these back down over here. Excellent. Well done, Scotty. And I should note that all day Friday we didn't even have to crack the Jaeger. We didn't even open the Jaeger, and we didn't even open this box of wine that Chris was nice enough to drop off for us. So, you know, so we got stuff left. Should we need to revisit that on Friday?
Well, congratulations, Scott.
Well, thanks, Jim.
That was a great experiment.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon.
Do you let your children listen to this program?
My children were pretty unhappy when they saw me come home.
Was that a...
And I don't remember how I got home, but that seems to be a problem now in my life, so...
Do you remember seeing your children when you got home?
Nope.
Wow.
But they remember seeing me, so.
Oh.
And your wife knew what was going on the whole time, correct?
Well, your wife dropped him off.
She did nothing to shield your kids from your grotesqueness?
Well, I thought she did, but...
What kind of mother is that?
It hasn't been a good experiment at home at all, so.
Well, it's just been an experiment in sleeping on the couch.
I guess so.
It's been an experiment in shunning. So, and let me just go ahead and clarify this here. Now, we had asked... The reason we did this on Friday, we didn't do it on Tuesday because it was very important. We told Scotty, we were like, look, you have to get someone to drive you to work, and then, you know, we'll get your cab home or whatever. It's like, you know, you can't be driving, so just make sure of that. So your wife actually dropped you off at work on Friday?
Yes.
And she was aware this was going to happen.
Right, and I told her I didn't know if we were doing something after the show for my birthday, but I imagined we were.
But this
Friday. She was aware of that, yet she was still surprised that I came home.
Now, was she listening to the show
the
Friday?
Show. Little bits of it, yeah.
Little bits of it. Did the little bits like this?
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Ashfield was doing, Lucy of the Coupon Crown, that was great.
I mean, was that one of the bits she heard?
Probably, but I can explain that. The drink she handed me looked so green and gross that made me think of that.
Okay, but I guess my question is, so she was listening to the program, and then when you came home in your intoxicated
state...
She was surprised?
I think so. Or concerned. Well, wondering if she was going to have to take me to the hospital, rather.
Really?
Sorry. So, I mean, that's not that funny.
Oh,
it's not funny.
No. I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to.
Oh.
All right. Well, thanks for your help, Jim.
That's okay.
Excellent. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you, sir.
I gotta pee.
All right, later, my friend.
I'll see you.
There you go. There's Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, Los Angeles. Fantastic. Anything else you want to share, Scotty?
Nope.
That's exactly how you sound when you're drunk, by the way.
Yep.
That's kind of... Wait, hold on.
Nope.
Hold on. Before we break, I got to do that again. Because when you just said, nope, you know what that sounds like? Hold on. That sounds... Let's see, where did it go?
Oh, Vanilla Ice?
That sounds exactly like... Let's see, where is... Scotty parking lot. All right, here we go. Hold on.
I introduced myself to about,
listen for the nope.
A 30 woman tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope.
Right there.
Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all a numbers game.
Fantastic. There you go. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate everything.
For ruining your life.
I didn't ruin anything. I only enhance. That's the power of the Rick Emerson Show. We intensify your life. We don't ruin anything.
You've ruined two relationships for me.
Well, the day's not over. Okay. Tim, are ye gathering news for us?
I have been diligently working all this time.
Fantastic. God bless you. All right. We return. More of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll do the top five. Oh, we'll talk to Fat Boy later on in the
no,
day, too.
No, you didn't ruin anything for me, Rick. I was just teasing. But you might be on the way with Scotty.
What do you mean?
I'm starting to feel bad for him. He's looking like he's crumbling.
Is this about the pillow wall that keeps him from getting laid? Does the pillow wall not keep him from getting in the house?
Yeah, I bet his wife is really stoked about that,
too. good time. Well, okay. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. We could drive through the city, no doubt, but don't say my car's topless. Say that. Noon is his, the anthem. Put your hands up that you shoot with. Count your. You know that. Yeah, all right. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Hey, this might be a bad time to mention this, but we got this whole box of whiskey given to us. I gotta thank. This is what. Oh, look, it's stained with my blood. This is what I cut myself on Friday. We got so busy having to fare Scotty back and forth from one room to another on our shoulders that I didn't get a chance to read this. A guy named Mateo is his name. M-A-T-E-O, Mateo. For Rick Emerson Show Crew. There you go. Best show ever. Mateo dropped this off.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So thank you, Mateo. So this is really, really cool. And I'm not a drinking man, but even I recognize how fantastic this is. This is a four-bottle collection. It's a four-bottle sampler of Johnny Walker. And the great thing about this is, and even I know this, and I know it largely from Aaron Sorkin, who wrote about some of this stuff, his stuff extensively in the Leo McGarry storylines of the West Wing. This is, there's Johnny Walker Black, Johnny Walker Gold, Johnny Walker Green, and then the thing that impresses me right here in this box that this guy gave to us is a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. And Johnny Walker Blue is a thing. You actually mentioned that to some people, and they don't think it's real. They've never heard of it. Johnny Walker Blue is the rarest and most expensive of all the Johnny Walker blends. It is the oldest. They manufacture a very, very small number every year. The bottles are given their own serial number. A fifth of Johnny Walker Blue is something like $250. It's unbelievably expensive.
That might be a nice gift for Mrs. J from Scotty when he goes home today.
Share it with the children. They can all drink together. So there's a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue in here. And Johnny Walker Blue is notable to West Wing fans because that is the drink that causes Leo McGarry to fall off the wagon and lapse back into alcoholism because he's been sober for like 4 years. He's in a hotel room kind of talking to some guys about political matters. They're having a confab or whatever. And a guy's like, Leo, do you want a drink? And he's like, no, you know, I gotta stay bright. I'm on the wagon or whatever. And the guy says, okay. And then the guy like opens this bottle of Johnny Walker Blue in front of him and like puts it. And there's this, and you can tell that Sorkin is... depending on what stage of his life, is either a user or a reformed user, depending on kind of what month you catch him. But he's certainly a reformed alcoholic and drug user by most accounts. And there's this long sequence written and shot, by the way, as only a user can really do it, where there's it's almost shot like porn. There's this like slow motion, like really beautiful shot of like the thick bottomed crystal scotch glass being put down on the table, and Leo McGarry is doing this whole riff about, I love the way that a heavy bottom scotch glass feels in your hand. I love it, you know, I love the sound the ice cubes make when you drop them into the glass from just the right distance. And then there's this long slow motion shot of the glass, of the ice cubes rattling in the bottom, and then there's the long shot of the Johnny Walker Blue being poured and like splashing in over the ice cubes. And then he just goes, all right, give me some of that, you know, and then they immediately cut to him, of course, where? In his own room, surrounded by empty mini bottles, with like his tie all askew, you know, because that's how those move. That's the shot you always have to go to, like the one drink, and then you cut to him sitting on a corner by a hydrant with Steve Martin going, you know, what do they have, some kind of a jerk or something, you know, so there you go, Johnny Walker Blue, so thank you, Mateo. for the Johnny Walker gift set. God bless you, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth is here. Right.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
From Yamhill County comes word that judge indicated he might rule this afternoon on whether or not to throw out charges against two seventh grade boys accused of swatting girls on the fanny. Friday, he threw out the misdemeanor sex abuse charges. So that's all that remains. He says there's something called exculpatory information in the case. That's lawyer speak. So we should find out this afternoon what happens there.
Well, I read in the Oregonian this morning, which employs 405 people, that they already said that the kids were not going to have to register as like lifetime sex offenders. That was the big
only
thing.
Only part-time.
What do you do? Well, I'm a part-time sex offender. I'm a temp. I'm temping as a sex offender right now. I
spend the rest of my time at retail.
I don't get benefits with that or anything. It's kind of a pain. 38 hours a week. Boy. But that was the big thing hanging over their heads, is they were going to get tagged as sex offenders, like, forever. And I guess that's not going to happen. Now it remains to be seen whether the judges kicked it out. So, it does seem like...
horseplay.
I thought you were going to say horse hockey, or whatever it is that Colonel Potter used to say in MASH. I mean, the kids do kind of look like... they kind of do look like mouth breathers, but, I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? You can't tag every mouth breather as a sex offender.
No.
All right.
Well, for Christmas, why not give someone you love some Iraqi clothing? U.S. market is seen for Iraqi-made clothing. They think the economy could get a good kickstart for American consumers interested in giving Iraqi clothing for Christmas gifts. Yes, we're hoping if everything goes well by Thanksgiving or Christmas. Yes?
Go ahead.
There could be Iraqi clothing underneath the Christmas tree.
What does Iraqi clothing look like?
Let's see here. There would be between 10,000 and 12,000 leather jackets, 20,000 to 25,000 suits, hopefully better than those Iranian suits.
I don't understand. Is this just stuff we've looted from Iraq that we're selling?
Apparently,
I'm confused.
The Iraqis are busy making this stuff right now.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. And garments for teenagers, whatever those might be.
Well, it does sound hip. I have this great idea. You know what they ought to do to raise money and to get the balance of the stupid budget? They ought to sell square feet in Iraq to just folks. You know what I mean?
Oh, like own a square foot of Texas?
Totally, exactly. Like I own a square foot of Hell, Michigan. Mm-hmm. You totally ought to be able to buy for like $1,000. You can buy a piece of Baghdad. You can buy like a square foot right in downtown Baghdad. That'd be a cool thing to impress your idiot friends with. Total Americans would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right.
David Lee Roth and the Van Halen have reunited two decades after leaving the group. The band and its former frontman announced plans today to launch a 25-day tour beginning September 27th. The first stop, Charlotte, North Carolina. And the last stop will be December 11th in Calgary.
Does it say if they're coming to Portland? Wait, why am I asking? I don't care. Listen to this email I just got. Sneathan just sent me this. Rick, I think with a sober Eddie Van Halen, I might actually go check it out. I mean, you know, whatever. I guess he'll be there and Kristen will be there. I mean, it's impossible to overstate how little I care about the Van Halen reunion at this point. And I really, I mean, I was so jazzed. This is another one of those things where even starting to talk about it just makes me feel tired. This Van Halen thing has been such a long, stupid, drawn-out, retarded soap opera.
Yes.
The reunion rumors started in, I swear to Christ, 1997, when they put out that Van Halen Best Of CD. Which had the two new songs, Me Wise Magic and Can't Get That Stuff No More, with Roth on vocals. And we were all, my friend Todd and I, we both grew up as big dirtbag Van Halen fans. And they put out the two new Roth songs, and Todd and I, they're going to reunite! Rah! You know, we were all excited about it and all just jazzed up like only moronic suburban kids can be. And that is 10 years ago. 10 years of David Lee Roth appearing on stage, then they fight. Then Eddie Van Halen's sober. Then he goes into rehab. Then they're going to tour with Roth, but then it's Hagar. And then they put together some other, you know, best of collection, and there's nothing new. Then they're going to tour with Roth, but then he takes the stupid CBS job. Then he gets fired from the CBS job, but then he's going to become a paramedic. Then they're going to tour last year, and Halen goes into freaking rehab again. Now he's out of rehab. They're again threatening to tour, and I'm just so beyond the point of caring. They are just the band that cried wolf, like one too many, they're the band that cried rock one too many times, and I just, I don't care anymore, so that's the end of it in my head.
Well, all right then. Let's move along to the Religious Nutcase Watch.
Fantastic, this one's great. Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Arrest warrants have been issued for two officials at a Christian boot camp. Love demonstrated missionaries accused of dragging a 15-year-old girl behind a van after she fell behind the group during a morning run.
So she wasn't running fast enough, so they just chained her to the bumper?
Mm-hmm. Charles Eugene Flowers and Stephanie Bassett of San Antonio-based Love Demonstrated Ministries.
What's his name?
Charles Eugene Flowers.
Charles Flowers and what's it, Stephanie something or other?
Bassett.
Could they be whiter?
This is a 32-day boot camp. They face aggravated assault charges for the alleged June 12th incident. The two were accused of tying the girl to the van with a rope, then dragging her. And they're being held on $100,000 bond. Flowers is the camp's director. He allegedly ordered Bassett to run alongside the girl after she fell behind. But the girl stopped running. Bassett allegedly yelled at her and pinned her to the ground, where Flowers tied rope to her, according to the affidavit.
Griswold style.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where, what, and this was where, in Texas?
Texas, San
well,
Antonio.
Well, of course. That's in Texas. Any, you can always solve a problem in Texas by just dragging somebody. That seems to be the logic down there.
Jesus.
What a weird state that is. Texas is sort of the
home
Florida.
Of Florida.
I was just going to say, it's sort of the Florida of the Middle South there. Mm-hmm. Excellent. There's your religious nutcase watch for Monday. Oh, this just in, so we have this confirmed now. Van Halen, December 1st at the Rose Garden. Yeehaw. So there you go. So there, that'll give KGOM something to talk about between Night Ranger Records.
A leading supplier of toiletries for hotels and resorts said it's recalling complimentary tubes of toothpaste made in China after just showed they have toxic chemicals. It's the latest in a series of recalls for Chinese-made goods, toothpaste, children's toys, tires, pet food, all because of shoddy and perhaps dangerous manufacturing.
Perhaps dangerous. Yes, it's alleged.
Then the chief of a Chinese toy maker at the center of a massive recall hanged himself. Over the weekend, the Shanghai Daily reports...
He was recalled to heaven.
...was found inside a warehouse. Earlier this year, nearly 980,000 toys exported to the U.S. were returned after excessive lead paint were found. China's General Administration of Quality Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine have banned them from being exported.
Happy Fun Jubilation Convulsing Gun.
And these toys are from Mattel's Fisher-Price unit. Mattel is recalling over 350,000 toys from other countries, including Britain, Canada, and Mexico.
That's wonderful.
Well, it didn't take much but time for Rush Hour 3 to rush to the top of the box office charts. The buddy film starring Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker made $50 million over the weekend. It easily overtook the number one film, The Bourne Ultimatum. That movie took in nearly $34 million in its second weekend, a drop of more than 51%. The Simpsons movie placed third with $11 million, and Stardust debuted in fourth place with $9 million.
I don't know anything about Stardust, but I got a bunch of email this weekend about it. People were sending me a bunch of, people just like, here we go, here's one. Rick, you don't really know me, so I don't expect you to take my sole opinion, but I can't recommend Stardust enough. Hopefully other listeners are backing me up. If you see Stardust and dislike it, I'll eat a bowl of macaroni. Ordinarily, I promise to eat something less appealing, but I don't know you, so I don't know. So I don't see why I'd have to be all that broken up if you didn't go for it, haha. Seriously, see Stardust. Support a good movie that only took in $9 million over its opening weekend, and that's from Kevin.
So who's in Stardust?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I have zero knowledge about
Stardust.
Yeah,
don't see Sunshine.
Yeah, don't confuse the two. And, of course, when you said Sunshine, I
think of Little Miss Sunshine.
Or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That was the other thing I think of. So I don't really know what Stardust is. Is Stardust the one about the kid who builds a rocket in his backyard? Is that it?
Another rocket in the backyard movie?
Well, because we didn't have...
Astronaut Farmer?
Farmer? The
Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
That's the...
Ooh.
What?
Why didn't
no,
I
that's the
that?
Astronaut's wife.
No, Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, that's Johnny
Depp. Is a child in his yard.
Is that Stardust?
No, it's something else.
Jake Gyllenhaal's not really a child anymore.
I don't know what we're doing!
Claire Danes and Charlie Cox. My computer's slow.
Wait, we all just stopped talking there. What's happening?
Were you
looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking up. I have it here.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Gyllenhaal, have we all now seen that picture of Jack the Ripper? of the Joker holding the knife to Maggie Gyllenhaal's face? How badass is that? You know what sucks about that new Batman thing, though? Have you seen those clips where Ledger's talking as the Joker? And it's just, it sounds like he's just trying to do a bad Nicholson impression. That's what sucks. Ledger,
Heath Ledger sounds like he is?
Yeah, Ledger as the Joker looks fantastic. And that picture where... I know this makes me sound like a crazy man, but that picture where Ledger is holding a knife to Maggie Gyllenhaal's face is like hot in about 100 different ways. But when you those clips where Ledger is talking like the Joker, it's like he's channeling Jack Nicholson. It's really unnerving. I hope that they beat that out of him. I hope that Nolan just tells him to knock that off.
Okay, this does sound interesting. Okay, it follows the adventures of a young man who sets out on a quest to prove his love and finds far more than he bargained for. Stardust takes on every fairy tale in which anyone ever wanted to believe, from wicked witches to dashing princes, flying pirates to dueling swordsmen, magical spells to mystical destinies. All adds up to a funny romantic comedy of true love and high adventure unlike any other.
Oh. Well, that's just weird. I don't even know what it's about now.
It's called a fantasy epic. And it has Claire Danes in it, and she looks kind of pretty.
Yeah, but, you know, Claire Danes has never been good in anything. She was never good in anything after My So-Called Life. I defy you right now to name me something
that
she's done
that's good.
What
about Romeo and Juliet? Broke Down Palace.
Okay, I have to...
She's annoying. She plays her character well because that character is very unlikable.
I know that it's wrong of me to say this, but I hated that Romeo and Juliet film. And I don't dislike Baz Luhrmann. I loved Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge is great.
You know why I hate Romeo and Juliet? It's because Michael from Lost is in there.
Ah! Whoa! Where art thou? Whatever.
I hated him back then, but I had to go. I was watching that my junior year of high school, and I remember how much I hated that actor.
You know what it is? I just don't... Can I just tell you this? Here's why I'm a rube. It's not that I dislike that sort of style of filming. Again, Moulin Rouge, which is not like... I'm not the target demo for Moulin Rouge, clearly, even though they do use a Kiss song in there. Moulin Rouge is a great movie. I don't think it's one of my all-time favorite, but it's a really well-done film. And you know what? And I dig John Leguizamo. I love that guy. I'll see John Leguizamo in almost anything. I mean, I've seen some bad movies just because Leguizamo's in them. And he's in Moulin Rouge. He's the guy that, you know, you must believe in love. He's that guy, Moulin Rouge, and just irritating off the charts, but he's great. You know, he's a great actor. He's in Romeo and Juliet, and I don't even like it, because I just don't like Shakespeare. I just don't. And you know what? All the English teachers in the world lecturing me that I'm supposed to like Shakespeare has just never made me like it. I just don't. And maybe that makes me a hick or something. I say, so I'm getting ready to go off to Britain. But I just don't care for it. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's just I you know, they tried to make me like it in high school, and they've tried to make me like it in any number of films. And I just don't care for it. The only time I've ever been able to get into Shakespeare is when they write it in a completely different way, i.e. West Side Story. You know, but just sitting through a bunch of people talking like it's 1412, I guess I'm just too much of a suburban idiot. It just grates on me. Oh, this is somebody about Stardust. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, Stardust is about a star that falls to the earth as a girl, and she can grant massive powers, and everybody's after her because she's like, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings, except, and she's the ring. She has all the power and grants wishes and everything.
Okay. Did you see it?
No, but I really want to see it. I've looked into it.
Okay. Now this guy's somebody else is saying Stardust is like Pirates of the Caribbean, Harry Potter, and space rolled into one. De Niro and Pfeiffer. I don't even know what they're talking about now. All right. Okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you. This email says, Rick, were you drinking on Friday, too? Aaron Geek in the City said that Rush Hour 3 sucked and that you should find Stardust because it was true. Is that true? I got to tell you, it's not that I was drinking on Friday, but I think we were all... here's Aaron sending me an angry email. He said, by the way, I told you about this. Written by Neil Gaiman. Okay, why didn't you say so? Neil Gaiman, who did the Sandman comic and many other... He's done some great graphic novels. Said, if you are a geek, a nerd, or an adult with a childlike soul, you will love it. Friday, I think by the end of Friday's program, we were all trying to keep the wheels on the wagon, and it was just becoming more and more difficult. So that's why I don't the last half hour. Remember when Scotty said the F word? Hey, Scotty, do you remember? Let's just wait. Hold on. Let's find out.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going?
You know.
Scotty, do you not love us anymore?
Scotty,
you're going to hate that we're ruining your life, because I'm starting to feel a little bad about it.
No, I
I don't feel bad about anything. I did what I did, and you know what? If there's people who choose to believe me out there, great. If not, whatever.
I'm
believe
not
your eyes.
To believe my eyes.
If there's people.
That's right.
I think you vague that up. I think we may have seen through your linguistic ruse, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right. Would you like to elaborate for the audience?
No.
Okay. Can we? Is it look? Would it suffice? Is it fair to say that the that it's not so much a pillow wall as it is a house wall?
That's correct.
Okay.
And over, you know,
house wall keeps you from
like,
going
like
home.
Like I said, you know, I stopped realizing what I was saying and doing at about probably 1:30, 2 o'clock.
I'd agree with you on that.
And so, you know, whatever.
You were fine, Scotty.
Thank you.
No, I would say you didn't. There was
a
nothing.
Perfect gentleman.
There was no.
An example could be
that far.
There was nothing. Yeah, I don't know that we would ever say that. So now, would you now? And again, I understand that this is not the case. Now, would you like us to call and clarify things with Mrs. J?
Oh, she'll probably be rude on the air because she's. Not
well, that's
happy.
I don't care.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Really? Are you
sure.
Okay with that?
I don't care.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm leaving the room.
I'm chained to the board.
All right. Well, we're not going to do it quite yet. We'll make people wait for that just a second. But do you remember saying the F word on Friday?
No.
And getting dumped.
Talking about Night Ranger and then apologizing for like 10 minutes about it?
No.
Because Night Ranger, you're like, I can't wait. This is so effing great. But you didn't say effing. And we're all like, no. Like leaping right for the dump button. So, all right. Let me see. Let's get a couple of these. This guy says, Rick, reliving Friday's broadcast is possibly more brutal than the original. Do you have a clip of Scotty going Zen and pronouncing a word that Dennis was stumbling over? That was awesome.
Oh,
I don't even remember what it was.
Weird.
Dennis was trying to pronounce
it was
some word.
Establishmentarianism.
Yeah, but it was like some three-syllable word that Dennis couldn't get out, and then you just said, it was like he was trying to say like proclivity or something. He's like, and you're just like, proclivity. And you totally said it like a ninja master. Rick.
You have to be a ninja master after looking at those bottles, man.
Great new catchphrase for the show. You must smell the night train, he says. Best show ever.
I do like that.
This one says, or Tim saying, open up and let the train go in your mouth.
Yeah.
That was
let the train go down or something.
No, it was like let the train go through your mouth or something like that. Rick, is it possible that fortified wine can travel over the airwaves? I woke up Saturday morning with what can only be described as a thunderdog headache. I remember the old contact high phenomenon. I think I got a contact hangover. Thanks a lot, Scotty. All you got was loopy. You were more than loopy. You know, I do have to say that when you called me on Saturday to tell me you were not going to Night Ranger, and by the way, I'm waiting for the irritated call from the promoter about that. You told me you were sending somebody to introduce the band. You did sound really remarkably together and with it on Saturday.
I was functioning, you know. I just...
Were you compensating? Were you faking that on Saturday? I wish I'd saved your voicemail.
No, it wasn't like one of those fake, I'm sick, Rick.
No, 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 but it was the opposite. It was the opposite. Because I'm saying on Saturday, I wish I'd saved it. Saturday at noon, you left me this message, and it was like, Rick, it's Scotty J.
And I feel horrible.
You didn't think you'd go, I'm feeling not so hot today, and my friends all kind of bailed on me, and I don't want to go alone, so I'm not going to go to Night Ranger. Bye.
That was basically it.
I regret nothing. Bye.
You know, that is it in a nutshell. I mean,
were you compensating, or did you really feel okay? Because you sounded perfect.
Well, it sounds toward the end of it that his wife didn't want to go with him anymore, so he didn't go because he didn't have anybody to go with.
Could she not find a sitter, or was that...
That was the issue.
Would you have gone if you would have been able to find a sitter?
Yeah, because we had a couple friends we were going to meet over there and everything, so...
Now, did she,
oh, that's kind of sad.
Do you suspect that she just chose not to find a sitter? Is that your suspicion?
No, we exhausted every single possible...
But you and I had talked about this a couple weeks before, and you had told me that you were not bringing your wife, that you were in fact bringing your friend.
Yeah, because this buddy of mine, Night Ranger, is like one of his most famous bands in the world.
Is your friend Bernie?
No, his name is Mike, actually.
Mike, okay, all
right. But he actually...
And he just bailed?
No, he would have had to come home that night, and that just wasn't going to work.
Ah, okay.
You see?
I see. So, because this is, and again, not to keep rubbing it in, but because you had, in addition to the great seats, they had totally, you know, we got you the sweet room at the Super 8.
The suite.
Yeah! The Super 8.
Super 8.
Overlooking beautiful downtown Vidal's. Yeah, genius.
Awesome.
I don't know who these people are. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, the word was philanthropist.
Philanthropist.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dennis, I don't have access to the logger down here, the audio logger, but Dennis kept trying to go,
and also,
philanthropist, and Scotty just kind of goes, philanthropist. Like, through his alcoholic haze, it was like an autistic child suddenly writing a sonata.
Also, in the future, if Scotty does choose to do this, why not provide a public service? And not only will we get the comic stylings of Scotty J, but we always also provide a service. Have a police officer come in there and blow him. Or blood alcohol level.
Let me
like
just hold on. I had to believe that.
He did that on purpose.
I know. No, I know. I know. I know. You mean have Scotty have. Have the police officer have the police officer come in and then have the cop have Scotty blow into the blood alcohol thing.
Yeah, and yes, maybe have a lawyer there and say, when you're at this level, you can expect if you get pulled over, you'll go do this. You know, be like a good service, like before a holiday or something.
You know, this audience is so... For a second, we didn't even bleep that. No offense, sir. For a second, we didn't even bleep that because we were all just staring at the phone. Anyway.
Well, that's true.
They do that. That they'll come in with a box that they hook you up to, and they'll test.
Will do that.
And they'll, for an extra 10. They'll do that thing where they set up a box in front of you with a button, and they test your reaction time. Like they'll say, "Go." And
exactly. Have a lawyer come in there and explain what would happen if you're just blood alcohol level got pulled over.
Let's just say this: on Friday, Scotty's condition did prevent Sarah from drinking. Sarah actually opted not to drink on Friday because of the example set by Scotty J.
So, I don't blame her.
All right, thank you, sir.
And I have a bottle of absinthe I would like to donate to your next.
Absinthe is sort of the Don and Mike thing. They've kind of carved out the absinthe. Sarah will take it. They've carved out the absinthe drink. They do a date.
I've had absinthe since London.
Well, you just let me know when you want it, right. And I'll hustle my ass down.
Drop her an email or something.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, Don and Mike do a yearly absinthe drinking show. We can't really do that here.
I imagine that is just as bad as the fortified wine.
Is awesome.
You got to make sure that you're drinking the real deal because what is marketed as absinthe now in most places is not the real deal. The real absinthe is illegal in most places.
Yeah, it can make you go insane.
No,
right?
That's not true. But it's
no, well, if you drink like massive quantities of it, like who was it that famously went kind of bonkers?
It's the guy that did
not Leonardo da Vinci.
It wasn't Van Gogh. It was James Joyce drank it, but God, who was the painter? Drew all the really dark paintings, and he had that phrase. I forget what it was, but some guy. It wasn't Van Gogh. Van Gogh, I think, had like a brain condition, but I don't think it was absinthe. Anyway, but it's illegal in most places, so you have to. And there's a lot of stuff marketed as absinthe that's not. Anyway, I think Aaron spelled it all out for me one day about what's absinthe and what isn't, and blah 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 blah. So, all right, I don't even remember why we had you come in. Why did we have you come in here?
Not sure.
I don't even remember. Now it's catching.
We were going to call his wife, but are we holding off on that?
All right, now
we should probably just do it now.
Well, if we do it now, then we're going to have to just, in other words, we either have to break now or in like 20 minutes. Do you want to break? Let's break now, get caught up, and then we'll make that decision. We still got to get to this top five. We have to do the Kiss giveaway. That's the other thing. We got to do the Kiss giveaway, Kissology Volume 2. It's another excuse for me to play my Gene and Paul Sounders. All that's on the way. More news with Tim Riley. Like us coming up at 3. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. That's totally me. I was reading this email about two chicks fighting in this guy's office. All right.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit.
You don't have to come to this for it.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please, let me.
Here, Scotty.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our PA, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great, Rick. I love you.
Do you want another Tropical Thunder Dog, Scotty?
Excellent.
Did you call me?
No, yes, I did just now.
I thought you came over when you were talking. You came over.
Stop.
No, you leaned your
head in. Everybody stop. These are great headphones. I have the cheapest headphones in the world.
Yes.
And these are awesome. It's like I hear myself in the third dimension. Sounds great.
All right, then. How would you rank the drinks that you've been having so far? Where did you like that last, the Tropical Thunder Dog?
I got to tell you. You know what? It looked the most putrid of all. It looked the most disgusting. It was the most Frankenstein, ugly-looking drink I've ever seen in my life. And it was the best one. Sarah, what was it called again?
The Tropical Thunder Dog.
Oh, it was Tropical Thunder Dog. That one has some taste.
Excellent. All right.
And vividity.
Please just spell vividity.
And then define it.
Yes, seriously. Pleased to be spelling that.
V-I. V-I.
Here's a pen, Scotty.
V.
Vibe.
I-D.
Uh-huh.
I-T-Y. B-E-S-T-T-A-S-T-E.
Excellent. Thank you. All right.
Am I right?
No, finally? You really are. No, it's fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I was distracted by this email. Rick, subject line, don't say my name. Rick, a couple of chicks in the office are going at it. They were walking by one another and they bumped. It was on from there. One girl's about three bills and the other is a plump little thing. Right now they're in the supervisor's office yelling and screaming. It's fantastic. Excellent. Be sure to keep me in the loop, sir. Or madam, as the case may be. All right, there you go. Oh, we got an absinthe call here. We'll get that. I got all this absinthe email coming in. Here's what we got to get done for the top of the hour. This absinthe stuff, we'll talk to Scotty again here in a second. We got to do the Kiss giveaway. Tim will be back here. And we'll do our best to get this top five taken care of. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, hello.
It's Karen. I was just, I'm pretty sure that the artist that you were talking about was Toulouse-Lautrec.
No. All right,
no?
What are you talking about?
Absent.
Well, Toulouse-Lautrec was, Toulouse-Lautrec was like the French, he was the short French guy, right?
Yes, but he was a painter.
All right. Well, I think Sarah was talking about Van Gogh, and I don't know who I was talking about. But
yes.
About being an absinthe drinker. And then somebody said that Van Gogh was drinking absinthe. Somebody else said that it was digitalis, and that's why he saw, like, circles around everything. But I don't really know. I don't know anything about art, so.
Van Gogh had muscle disease in his face. That's what caused him to cut his ear off. The pain from it.
This is going to be one of those things that no one can ever agree on. Because somebody else was saying it was tinnitus. So this is going to be, this is totally going to be one of those stories that everybody has their own version of.
Yeah, actually, I think what it was Tic de la Rue, which is a nerve disorder.
You're just making that up.
No, I'm really not.
There's no such disorder. You're just fabricating that name right now. I don't know. I really, can I just tell you, the amount of, my art knowledge could be fit inside the navel of a flea. I got nothing. I don't know anything about art at all. So really, you know what? You could just be completely cutting this in a whole cloth, and I would have no choice but to believe you.
Well, I would try not to pull the wool over your eyes.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, yeah. Karen.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Yeah. Aaron, who seems to know a frightening amount about absinthe, has said that, the stuff they sell in America, he says, is not real absinthe. You have to import it from Europe, I guess. And like Cuban cigars, apparently absinthe is legal to possess, but not to buy or sell. So you just got to sort of have it. Like if you mysteriously just sort of come into the possession of absinthe, I guess that's fine. All right. So we got to do the Kiss giveaway, Tim, top five, all that. Scotty J. All right, so before the break here, and we get kind of cut off by things, before the break we were talking about Friday's show and whatever sort of domestic unpleasantness may have ensued because of that. So, and you had said that you were fine if we, because I had offered to call Mrs. J and sort of straighten it out.
Right, yeah, I think that's great.
Now, see, here's what sort of unnerves me. What kind of freaks me out is, like, how into the idea you are, that you seem very enthusiastic about
it. I'm a little
it.
Freaked out. Well, I think that Scotty wouldn't set you up to fall.
No, it doesn't matter. What's she going to do to me? I mean, I don't care. I mean, really, seriously, your wife ain't going to do anything to me. I don't care. I'm saying it's just sort of strange that that you kind of jumped right at it. So I'm
Because she's been a little bit upset about Friday with me. And maybe this is an opportunity to clear some things up.
Let me ask you.
I don't know how else to do that.
Now, can I ask, and if you say, because that was going to be my question, is what do you think, if we call your wife, what do you think that phone call is going to go like? How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to be like swear words, probably.
Okay,
But if she can stay calm long enough to listen to reality, then maybe it might make things better.
Oh, I hope she's listening right now. You're just making things better by the moment. Listen to reason and not be a dumb girl. I guess if we're going to call her, I have to ask. So when you say if it's a chance to clear things up, like what things?
Well, just about the whole thing and Friday and came home a little later than the show.
What is her point of contention?
Why did you take a cab all the way to Hillsborough?
Yeah.
So what is her point of irritation? In other words, because I don't want to be like if I call up and she just starts like
the whole bit
pissed about something.
The
so she's
bit.
Angry that you were drinking.
That's part of it. Okay. Yeah.
And she thinks I was lying about my whereabouts when in reality I don't even remember leaving this building. So maybe we can clear that up. I don't know, you know, if I could even hold a conversation by the time I walked out of here. So.
Well, I will say that the answer to that is no. And I would also say that another thing you couldn't do when you walked out of here was walk out of here.
Right. And also, I don't even know how the taxi driver figured out my house. So obviously you guys helped me in some manner or another.
Well, if you do, how much the cab ride was?
I have no clue.
All right.
I don't know even how he found my house, but, you know, in the name of science, we did do a little experiment, and it's over, and I'm not gonna be doing that 4 to 5.
How much did that cab ride cost you?
I have no clue.
How did you pay?
It seemed like I was in the cab for, like, hours.
how would you even have paid?
I don't know. The guy probably had free rein over my wallet or something.
All right. Well,
you guys paid. I don't know. I doubt that.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, my charity knows a lot of bounds. Yeah, I'm a team player, but only not that far, Scotty. So, all right. Well, are you sure? You're fine with it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Sarah, what's your gut feeling?
Hey, I'm not even here.
No. I understand that. I think we've learned that that's a good rule. But your gut feeling about the phone call?
I'd say I think it'll make good radio. I go for it.
Such a bad person. This is the kind of thinking to get Scotty into trouble, Sarah.
Yeah, hoping, you know, the truth will be known.
And I hope that you can talk a little sense into Mrs. J so that she's not upset with Scotty.
Is there any... all right. I think, I'm just saying, I'm not saying...
Has Rick been properly prepped?
I'm not saying it's going to go badly. I'm just saying... Realize you are putting your domestic fate in the hands of a person who's really staggeringly bad at relating to people.
And I was staggeringly badly walking out of here, so, you know.
Well, that is true. She didn't know that was happening, though, right?
Yes, like, I
don't understand what caught her off guard. Like, what wasn't she expecting?
Well, first of all, I mentioned that I was probably doing this on the show and that we may go out afterwards. So the whole surprise factor... blows me away, but other than that, what blew her away is I didn't know until this morning that I didn't go straight to the taxi. I, you know, left here and caught a taxi elsewhere, and I didn't even know about this. So I'm letting it out. So here you go. We can talk about this.
Okay. So
go ahead.
Please to explain.
Okay. I left here.
Because I'm not going to open my mouth because I don't know. As Ricky Roma says in Glengarry Glen Ross, you never open your mouth until you know what the shot is.
Right. And I didn't know what the shot was until this morning.
So here's, I'm
so
pushing myself back.
She was mad at me for being home around 5. Well, the show gets over at 3. So where was I during those 2 hours or whatever? Well, taxi takes a while to get home, but I didn't go straight from here into a taxi. Apparently, Sarah helped me to a taxi, and then I left. Immediately.
Sarah helped you to a taxi where?
From, like, her neighborhood with Raul.
Yeah, Raul was at my house. And
my wife does not believe that he would be home during the day either.
He's a bartender.
He's a bartender.
All right.
So you're spending time when you're not here. Even when you're not here and drinking, you're with a bartender. That's what's fantastic.
No, so
a bartender
happened,
and Sarah.
What happened is that we got toward the end of the show. It was about 2:45. All of a sudden, Rick corners me. He's like, you know, I didn't really actually think through how we're going to get Scotty home. But at that point, you were really drunk. And he's like, we've got to get him right out of the building.
Because I didn't want you, like, just hanging at him, like, passing out in the back
room.
Didn't
want you, like, embarrassing yourself or anything.
You know, or, like, wandering upstairs. And where's some of the management? So, you know, what I didn't do is I didn't arrange to have your wife just be here at 3.
And I probably should have, too. But I didn't know if we were, like, doing something after the show. I didn't know that I was going
to
be that inebriated.
It should have occurred to me to ask you. Like, I guess I assumed that you would have told her to be here.
Well, I just didn't know what we were doing after the show.
Okay, I was going to say, but don't say that you didn't know what was happening during the show.
No, I knew that, but I didn't know that, you know, the last time I drank this Mad Dog type of stuff was like when I was 18.
Right, okay.
I didn't remember it at all. So being that inebriated, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like drinking 2 bottles of Johnny Walker.
So your wife is angry. Let me just get this. So Mrs. J is angry because there is about 90 minutes unaccounted for.
Correct.
Between when you left here and when you arrived home.
That's correct.
It turns out that the 90 minutes were with Sarah.
No, yes. They weren't even 90 minutes. What we did is we drove from down here, got stuck in traffic, Friday night traffic. We were literally stuck from here to the Hawthorne Bridge downtown for about 25 minutes. Got to my house. Raul was outside waiting with the cab. because the cab had arrived there like 5 minutes before we got there. Mm-hmm. Got Scotty out of my car, plopped him right in the cab, gave the cab driver his ID, and so like tried to figure out how to get to Hillsboro, and then he just
being a bartender, he apparently deals with this kind of stuff.
He did, but I just went inside and I started eating macaroni and cheese, and Raul was outside like helping you with the cab.
All right, so
I don't remember any of that, which is pathetic, but you know that's what Mad Dog does to you when you have a whole half a bottle of it.
No, that's 80% of a bottle, yeah. By the way. Half a bottle was the Thunderbird. All right, so the issue is that you didn't go straight home. The issue is that you spent some amount of time after you left here.
You know what the time was that Scotty and I spent together?
Well, look, I'm just...
He was sleeping in my car. You passed out in my car.
Well, I'm clearly... I mean, look, everybody here knows that it's obviously very innocuous. But, I mean, let's just call it what it is. If I'm just going to go into this, I want to make sure that I'm going into it prepared. So the issue is that you spent X minutes after the show in the company of Sarah?
Yeah,
is that really the rubbing point
isn't that. I don't think my wife would care about that if I...
Because that's what
her.
It sounds
she
like.
She thinks I lied to her about it, therefore it sounds sneaky and like, what are you doing type of thing. And, you know, I didn't know until
this morning.
I didn't know until this morning because she had asked me, like, Saturday morning.
You remember being in my house all drunk?
Yeah. She asked me Saturday, my wife asked me Saturday morning, you know, where were you? And I go, I imagine I was just at the studio and waiting for a cab. Because
I
honestly
right.
believe that, because I don't remember anything.
Yeah,
so.
There wasn't, we just took you right out, and you didn't even come in my house. It was just outside. Raul was already waiting outside, so was the cab. I just picked you, you know, like, we helped you out of my car and just brought you right into the, you know, to the cab.
Okay, so it's that she said, how did you get home? And you said, well, the cab came and got me, and
I went
home.
That's what I thought. Anyway, I thought I hung out in the green room here with Chris and Dennis and all that. I really didn't know if we were partying together or not. I don't remember any of it.
All right, so you told her you went straight home.
Well, I pretty much thought I did. I got home at 5.
Okay, I'm just asking. So you told her you went straight home.
Right.
And then later it emerged that you actually went somewhere with Sarah afterward. And I understand that it's, you know, there's nothing, it's innocent and whatnot. But I'm just saying, you told her you went straight home, you really went somewhere with Sarah, and so she therefore thinks that you were lying about it.
Correct. That's
okay.
The issue.
All right. And then we have this email. Said, did you just catch what Scotty J just said? It says, Mrs. J didn't believe that Sarah's boyfriend would be home in the middle of the day.
Right. So she's just... this is part of being upset, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, it certainly sounds that way. Doesn't it, Scotty? All right. So
you don't even remember seeing Raul or anything?
I don't remember even getting into a car outside of this building.
Well, Tim was just here, and now he vanished. All right. So you're okay with it. Sarah, obviously you're just going to hang back.
There's nothing I can do.
Why don't you do the bulk of the call, Sarah? That'll end well. I just don't know. I really am just torn about it. I mean, in a best case scenario, what I kind of lay out and confirm, you know, what happened and what didn't happen, and then she kind of realizes that it's not a big deal, right?
That's what I hope.
What do you suppose is the worst case scenario?
She cusses a lot and says she, you know, hates the show and who cares?
Well, let's be honest. That ship sailed weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
You know she hates.
You know she hates us already, doesn't she?
I don't know why, but yeah.
You don't know why. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, does that mean so the worst case scenario is that things stay the same? The worst case scenario is that she continues to dislike us.
Well, the worst case scenario is she continues to go on with her thoughts of distrust when in reality she has nothing to
distrust.
Fear.
Distrust?
Yeah. She thinks I'm lying because I was gone during that time.
Well, what is...
We're having a torrid love affair in the middle of the day.
Seriously. What does she think that you and Sarah are, like, getting a little afternoon delight?
Obviously, I'm pretty fast.
That just makes my skin crawl even to say it. I just want to scrub myself with something sharp.
This is like a brother-sister relationship.
Evidently, I'm pretty fast, too, because I got home by 5. So.
Did you really...
He's a minute man. Yeah. I'm sorry. We shouldn't be joking about your domestic squabble.
Correct.
Scotty. Tim Riley, are ye preparing news?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Should we insta-poll this? Should we take the pulse of the audience? All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the phone number here. It's 503-733-297. We'll let the audience decide. We'll let the audience make the call, and then I'll make the call, as the case may be. It's 503-733-2970. The question is, do I, Rick Emerson, call Mrs. J and attempt to right this leaky whale ship? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So we'll do the Insta poll. And then we'll probably, what, break?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll probably break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll either call or not, and we'll have Tim's news. And I really was hoping to get this Kiss giveaway done today, but it depends. It remains to be seen. I don't know whether we'll be able to do that or not. It's 503-733-2970. That the Kiss thing may have to be postponed, kind of depending on how the rest of the hour sort of turns out. I'm not exactly sure what's going to come of that. We got a couple people here that are on hold for something else, but we'll kind of see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I think you got a caller.
All right, and let's see. Call, don't call. So that's a vote for call.
Yeah. Well, also on Friday, wasn't that when they had 26 shut down? Wouldn't that have been kind of hard to get?
That was Saturday.
Saturday.
That was Saturday, but I like your attempt to create a lie for him.
Yeah.
I appreciate your creativity, sir.
There's no need to lie.
All right.
All right, thank you.
I've tried. Yeah.
Bye now.
Yeah.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, it's Boba Fett.
Hey.
hey, did you enjoy those drinks we had?
Yeah, I enjoyed none of them.
Yeah, you didn't drink at all. He came down to the studio to drink. He brought the Franzia. You ended up drinking not at all.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really attempting to drink. I was just sitting there watching the horror.
How do you come down to the call, don't call question?
I say call.
All right.
Let the cards lay where they lay.
All
hey,
right.
Scotty, do you remember... when we were sitting out in the hallway when I was told to let you drink water and make sure you didn't wander the building.
No,
I don't. Fantastic.
saying you wanted to go out after the show, and I said that probably wouldn't be a good idea, and you were saying that I was the only one that understood you, and I said, Scotty, I'm not married. I don't understand you at all.
Exactly. See, I don't remember even talking, let alone.
You told me, don't leave. Promise me you're not going to leave the building. And...
I love you, man.
Yeah, I noticed how you left before you needed a ride home.
Thanks, ass.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for leaving us hanging. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Don't leave the building. Yeah, I think you should call her, but you better be prepared. You know, it seems like a couple questions she's going to ask.
What questions do you expect she's
going to
ask?
Well, like, why didn't you just take a taxi from down there instead of going to Sarah's house to get a taxi?
Oh, that is a good question.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Oh,
you know what? Rick was yelling at me, telling me to get him out of the building.
That's a fair point.
What was I supposed to do? Like, I was hungover. All I wanted to do was go home and go to sleep. And Rick's like, you have to do this, Sarah.
That's a fair point. I didn't want him, like, wandering the parking lot.
So you literally shoved him on me and shoved this out the door.
No, that's true.
Get off the property.
Other questions she might ask?
Why should I take him back? But
because he's the breadwinner. Oh, no. No, I've got nothing. I have no answer to that. All right, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, be a therapist and call her.
No, yes. All right. Oh, I have an appointment with my shrink today, by the way.
Ooh.
She's been gone out of town for like a month.
She should be a
good
fodder.
I should tell her that I'm branching out into therapy myself. I'm becoming kind of marriage counselor myself. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I think he should make the call.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
I didn't believe Scotty that he stopped smoking, but I believe him here. I think he's telling the truth. You know, especially Sarah, I know she's telling the truth. So,
all right.
Nothing to lose, everything to gain. Do it.
All right, thank you. By the way, do you remember trying to smoke Friday?
No.
Yeah, we didn't let you. It would have been really easy for me to let you smoke and then to have that Chad guy come in and suckle on your ear.
I did have the pink ones in my purse.
Oh, it was so... You're like, I love to smoke. It was... I deserve credit for that, by the way. That's in my bank account with you. Because you wanted to smoke and it would have been so easy to let you do it. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. All right, thanks. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Thanks so much.
Gripping.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, as long as there's no secretly tape-recorded calls with Linda Tripp and a dress in a closet, I would go ahead and call.
All right, excellent. Thank you. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Sure, there's no reason not to call.
Yeah. Hi.
I'd say you got to call.
All right, thank you. We'll do two more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'm telling you, you are crazy to touch this with a 10-foot pole, Rick.
Finally a voice of dissent.
You need to just stay the hell away.
I'm offering to help. Scotty seems to wish to have our help.
You should know if you're married that you will not be able to help in this situation no matter what you say at all. And that's nothing against Mrs. J or nothing against Scotty at all. It's just there's nothing you can do to help the situation. Scotty's got to help himself here. So.
Right. And there's nothing I can do either as
and
the man.
I know that also.
They absolutely won't believe no matter what you say because if you're telling the truth, it's a lie. If you're telling a lie, it's a lie too. So
just
it's
time will pass. Time.
Thank you. All right. Okay. So let's see. Well, we've got a strong, like a 99% call vote. So I'll tell you what. Should we break or have Tim? Okay, we'll break. Tim, when we come back, we will have Yi give us some news.
Why, that sounds splendid.
Fantastic. And then we'll see what Mrs. J has to say about things. Just stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get to the phones here in a second. Here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A New York High Society lady has died. Brooke Astor.
Astor?
Was a philanthropist, a high society figure who gave away nearly $200 million. She died of a combination of pneumonia and old age. She was 105.
She of the John Jacob Astors?
Yes, she is. He once said, money is like manure. It should be spread around. Happy birthday to Fidel Castro. He is 81. Fireworks are exploding over Havana. And five Cuban agents imprisoned in the United States sent greetings to the ailing leader. Turned 81. He hasn't given out a message to the people yet. Children sang, congratulations, Fidel, on your day, clapping their hands as they kept time to a Cuban birthday song.
Please don't kill us.
Elsewhere, a man has been arrested for crashing a $400,000 Lamborghini. This happened in Central Florida. He crashed it only hours after getting behind the wheel, and he's charged with drunk driving. Ronald Tradico was apparently speeding in his bright yellow Lamborghini near Orlando when he lost control and crashed. He was arrested on suspicion of drunk driving. His wife was also in the vehicle. And a Tampa man's accused of trying to teach a 10-year-old to drive. Police report Virgil Brown sat in the passenger seat while the youngster drove. That's the news for now.
Really,
there are other things to move along to.
Yeah, there are Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman ever. Back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through Lycus. Thank you, Tim.
Oh,
thank you for being flexible today. I know it's been a crazy day for us all.
It has, but there are other fish to fry.
This email says, Rick, maybe Mrs. J would like us better if you invited her into the studio to get drunk. That is a thought, sir. Is this true, Scotty, this line I'm looking at here? All right.
Okay, now we got to make the best of what time we have left.
Well, let's take this. This is, it says on the phone that this is Mrs. J's best friend, Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm dandy. Thanks for calling in.
Yes.
So what's on your mind, Natalie? What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, I'm, what I make of it is it sounds like you guys have a pretty good time on the show. And I do think that you should give Mrs. J a call, so...
So this is now. Do you now? So you do believe that it's probably a good idea to do that?
Yes, I do.
And so now, and I, we were kind of planning on that already. Now, can I ask why you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a good idea because she's been listening to the show today, and she definitely wants to get her two cents in.
All right. Well, is she with you or?
Well, we've been communicating today, so. She's not with me right now, but I've been listening to the show, and she's been.
In other words, I'm saying, would it be easier for her to call us, or should we call her? How do you? I'm saying,
oh, you could call her. She's got her cell phone with her, so.
Okay.
We got to do that pretty quick.
Then we got to do it. I don't even have her number.
Okay, Scotty.
All right. So, So we're gonna get. I'm gonna put you on hold for a second, Natalie. Hang tight, okay?
All right.
I tell you what, we're gonna put you on hold there, and. Okay, so this is Natalie's going to stay on hold for just a second there, and then we're getting her. Let me just we're real quickly here. Natalie, does she know we're going to call?
So she's very aware that she might get a phone call.
Okay, all right. So it's not going to catch her by surprise.
All right. No, not completely.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. Hang tight for a second, Natalie.
Okay.
All right, there you go. All right. Yeah, are you on the bottom bank? Okay, you can.
Already done.
You've already.
All right, hang on.
Fantastic. We should make this phone system harder to use. It's just not, it's not counterintuitive enough.
Okay.
All right, is it ringing?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, do I have to put it up on the,
here
the
we
top
go.
Bank? All right. Okay, I'm going to turn on my patented Rick Emerson charm.
She's listening.
This is Tish.
Hi, Mrs. J. This is Rick Emerson. How are you?
I'm fine, Rick Emerson. How are you?
I'm okay. Do you mind if we talk to you on the air for a second?
That would be just fine.
Okay. So I just wanted to call and I wanted to, to weigh in and kind of smooth out any misunderstandings that may have happened. I realized that there was some awkwardness, one might say. We were talking to your friend Natalie, and she suggested she thought it might be a good idea to talk to you so we could clarify any issues that may be outstanding.
Okay.
So did you, and I apologize if this is the case now, did you, were you unaware when you brought Scotty to work on Friday that we were going to be doing the, you know, doing the fortified wine tasting? Did you, were you not aware that that was happening?
Oh, yes, I was aware. That's why I drove him to work.
Okay, that's what we thought, because we just wanted to make sure. I would have felt bad if you dropped him off thinking that we were all going to, like, a, you know, that if we were just going to be doing gardening or something on the air, and instead it was wine drinking. Okay, so now, if you don't mind me asking, can I ask where the sort of misunderstanding came from? Because, you know, I was here for the whole thing. I can kind of, you know, clarify whatever, you know, whatever needs clarifying.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, Rick.
Well, I guess I get the feeling that there was some... You know, that there was some sort of issue about, you know, when he left or why he left or how he got home or when he got home.
Interesting. I have a question for you. Are you an avid gardener?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned gardening.
Well, my wife, more so than myself.
Oh, I was just curious.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And then what was the next question?
Is this your changing the subject question?
No. Clarifying your, what was your second question? I was kind of stuck on the gardening thing.
I guess my question is, you know, it seemed like there was some sort of a misunderstanding or some sort of a, I don't know, an issue between you and Scotty about how he got home, when he got home, how he got to the cab, how he didn't, you know, and I'm able to clarify any of that that you won't clarify because Scotty's memory is a little fuzzy that day.
Oh, go ahead. Why don't you clarify that?
So he was here, and this is actually totally my fault. Part of this is entirely on me, that we'd had you drop him off, but I, of course, had no exit strategy. And so it got to be like I'd never thought it through to its logical conclusion. So it gets to be like 2:40. Scotty, clearly, you know, not able to, like, get home under his own power. It's not like if he's taking a unicycle home or anything. And you had not, he had not arranged with you to come back and pick him up, which is my fault. I totally should have said, like, make sure that Mrs. J's back at 3 o'clock to take you home. Didn't do that, you know, and he was, you know, not doing so well. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want him, like, wandering around the parking lot. I don't want him, like, you know, here where he's going to fall asleep in the production room and it's going to be impossible to roust him because if he kind of nods off now, we're never going to get him awake again. But at the same time, I don't want him, like, standing on the sidewalk with the traffic whizzing by waiting for a cab. And so
that might have been a good option.
Oh, Scotty, you're going to have a great time when you get home. Anyway, so to be fair, we didn't want him standing out there. You know, it's like it's hot, and there's, again, we're right on the side of the street, and I don't want him standing on, you know, he wasn't walking real well. I don't want him standing on the sidewalk right next to that. Yeah, so the deal was, I'm like, you know what, we got to get into a cab, but at the same time, I don't want him wandering around here, wandering around downtown.
That's
so
very thoughtful.
So Sarah piled him into her car. I piled him into Sarah's car. Sarah and her boyfriend then got a cab to come pick him up from their place, and then the cab took him home.
Yeah, I heard that on the show just a bit ago.
Okay. So
I listen to your show quite frequently.
Yes.
And actually enjoy your show and think that Scotty J is pretty hilarious.
Scotty J is pretty hilarious. I think that everyone everywhere agrees with that. On that, Mrs. J, we can all agree.
But I would have to tell you that I think things were taken a little too far on Friday. I don't expect you guys... You're not married people. You don't have children in your household. I don't think that it would be a good idea to repeat Friday's events.
When you say too far, what do you mean? In other words, just the too much drinking or
I
what?
I was concerned that maybe I would need to take Scotty J to the hospital when he arrived promptly at 5 o'clock at my home.
Everything I can understand that he was a little feeling very little pain, as they say. He sounded fine by Saturday, but I can see that. I can see you might have wondered about that.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, do you have any additional questions about how he got home?
No, I do not.
Okay, because I would hate to think that there was any sort of you know, misunderstanding or that you thought you were not getting the whole story about that.
I don't know why you would have that idea.
Well, just making sure. All right, Mrs. J, thank you so much. And thank you to your friend Natalie as well who talked to us.
You're very welcome.
All right, thank you, Mrs. J. There you go. Okay, we're going to put her back on hold, and I'll have to finish these. All right, thank you. All right, and done. All right. Oh, you're going to have a fun night. What is it, cold in here? All right. 503-733-2970. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio. I think I need a sweater. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs want to see how much you pay. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Well, I gave that the college try. I was as diplomatic. I turned on my my neutral diplomacy like as high as it would go there. This is so unfair. I'm not even married to her. All right. Well, what are you going to do?
I just think it's unfair that somebody gets, like, mad at you when you just try to do something nice.
Seriously.
Like, all I... I don't know. I'm just a little frustrated.
We could have let him wander the streets. All right. Rick, phone calls like that made me realize why I'm not married anymore. Audio equivalent of a kick in the crotch. Best show ever. All right. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillard for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, the PA, is... And, of course, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Our thanks to CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard. Tomorrow, Richard Cheese on the program. And then tomorrow night at Dante's, Richard Cheese in the flesh. Plus, we'll get to those Kiss giveaways tomorrow. I've got to double it up tomorrow because I failed to do it today. I failed to do it, and I did it to fail. As always, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Watch out for snakes. And other things, and the wall of pillows, and so forth. All right. See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Lashville, the Green Manalushi of the Cupron Crown, that was great.